The Shining Wizards podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. Opinions expressed by the host and guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the podcast or its affiliates. Content may include adult language or themes and is not suitable for all audiences. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live in high-definition video and available on all podcasting and streaming platforms. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And now, it's time for the Shining Wizards.
You are watching
The Shining Wizards.
The Shining Wizards.
Wrestling podcast.
Wrestling podcast. Man.
Right, welcome to episode 772 of the Shining Wizards podcast. The last time was finally now on Saturday, and we will be talking about and paying tribute to the Doctor of Thugonomics himself, John Chayna. At 7:45, feel free to call in, give your Cena moments. We'll have a link, all that fun stuff for you. Plus, we got plenty of other stuff to talk about. The C2 with AEW is rolling. We saw one of the best moments ever on Wednesday as Jungle Jack had an Okada snack. All this and more as we get into it with some wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Brondo.
Double T.
Tony.
And some Kevin.
A snack, you say? Now I'm hungry. Oh,
yeah. It was a whole snack attack. How you guys doing?
Tired as fuck, man. I don't know what happened today. At 5:30 or so, I hit a brick wall.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, buddy.
Getting old, man. Getting old. How about you guys?
I'm doing great.
Well,
not all at once. Okay, not everybody being quiet. HK, how are you?
Hey, man.
I don't know what he's doing.
I'll show you a bobblehead. Come here. Yeah. Anyway, I'm doing great, man. I'm ready for vacations where I'm at. That's where I'm at, man.
Oh, where are you going? Mexico, of course. Same place you go every year.
What, he's just going to Rancho?
Well, what else you got, Double T? What else you got?
I don't know.
Keep them coming, great. Buddy boy. I'm ready. Come on.
Great winery today. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, HK, I didn't want to say it, but yeah, you're a little like out of sorts today. Everything okay?
No, you know, I show up and Double T's shitting on my chest as soon as I get here, right?
Yeah, but I thought you liked that kind of thing.
You know, not really. I don't love it.
Huh. It would be an honor and a privilege to take a dump on your chest.
Good, no, quack.
I feel like it would be, and I think I'm accepting of that from you, Brundlefly.
Well, you know, I had a question about the fantasy football league we were in. I didn't want to. I know Sundays are like your day where you watch football with your friends, so I didn't want to text you yesterday and bother you. So I said I'm just going to see him tomorrow night. So I just asked you tonight, and you know, of course I broke your balls, because that's what I do. Like, if I was like just asked you a question and then we're like, all right, thanks, like, and go about my business, then you probably know I don't like you. But I bust your balls.
But why can't I go? Why can't I go to Mexico? I love you too, buddy boy. Can't I just go to Mexico?
You do the same thing every
why can't you just say, hey, I hope you have a great time?
I don't. I hope you have an awful time.
I know. It's really a shame too. I hope you have an absolutely wonderful holiday season with you. I hope your family, man.
Molly's back.
You made my holiday card. You know, I think you think you're a good friend and all that. And then I show up and you shit on my chest.
Did you say I hope you shit on Molly's back? What did you say?
Shit up Molly's back.
He's got moves. What? He's got moves that I don't do. They do weird stuff. I don't do those stuff.
Must be a Morris.
Well, if they were sleeping back to back and HK shot shit. Oof.
So he'd have to be pointing up the back, though.
Not necessarily.
Why would he shit on his wife's back? That makes
he would do it on purpose. He would get sick from the food he ate in Mexico and then get explosive diarrhea.
Let me ask HK a question. How long are you going away for, buddy? Like a week?
Yeah, about a week.
So are you going to walk around the wonderful lush landscape of Mexico, or are you just going to do circles in your hotel room for 8 hours?
No. I've already mapped it out. I checked it out. I think I got the whole resort there. I think I have probably a couple of passes. I got my 8 miles in first thing in the morning, and then I'll pick up the other two throughout the day.
Okay. Terrific.
Also, you're not really going to Mexico. You're going to a resort in Mexico.
Oh, here we go.
What do you think
the resort's in Florida, but I just call it Mexico? No, I'm going to fucking Mexico.
The resort is made so people go to Mexico, like real Mexico, like people die. It's gross. Like,
have you ever been to what you call real Mexico?
No, I don't want to go down there.
Okay, I've been to what you call
down where?
It's just fine. Down there.
Nah, you don't go off the resort. I know you.
I've been off the resort.
You stay in your lane.
Walk down Fifth Avenue, up and down Fifth Avenue.
Double T's been off the reservation a few times.
I did have a question, though. Handsome Kevin, great Christmas card, right? Encapsulates everything that is Handsome Kevin and Molly, the rogues, beautiful. The dog, Molly, him, friends, fantastic. Somebody sent a picture of just their goofy kid, and I don't get that.
I had zero say in the choice.
I was going to say, that's a Tony card then.
It is. I got it. It's on the refrigerator.
That's interesting. That one might wonder why one didn't get that card.
Whoa.
Listen, you're the asshole with the problems with the post office, buddy, not me.
I wonder. Somebody's off the old Christmas list, huh, Tony?
No, it's in the mail. You should have gotten it.
He didn't, though.
I'm going to text my wife right now. I'm going to say, hey. And I bet you she responds with yes. Oh, you got it?
I got it in this hand.
You fucking hand job.
Your wife just handed it to you?
It was just handed to me. We'll see.
She was holding out. Yeah, she was holding out.
It looks like you sent me a picture of a minor. What is this? A great picture. It's a great Christmas card for Buck Zumhoff.
No, too many clothes.
That is a weird Christmas guy. I love you, Tony. Yeah. But that's a weird fucking card, man.
You had to hear my son's reaction when I showed him what my wife sent out.
Yeah. Had to angle the camera just to make sure it says Honor Society so everybody knows.
Oh, no, that was 100% like the reason. Yep. Notice not even a Merry Christmas or a Happy Holidays. It just says joyful.
What the fuck? It's a swing and a miss, man. This isn't even like a holiday card.
I'm gonna play these first 5 minutes for the wife tomorrow.
The fuck is this?
I mean, don't get
Al, I'm already on it.
I should have sent one to Buck.
That's a miss.
You know, it's not too late. That's a fail dozer.
That's true.
You don't think he could get there in less than 10 days?
No, he might get another 5 years if he gets a card like that.
Send him two.
Your kid's too young, too old at this point.
Well, fuck.
Right? Yeah. But everybody's good?
Sure.
You guys, are you ready for the holidays?
Nope.
Yep.
I think I'm ready. I think I'm at the point where I'm ready. We got 10 days to go. Yep. I figured out my homework. Everything's good.
Hey, at least you figured it out before the show, not during the show like you usually do.
No, I've had the last couple planned out. It's just that the very last choice was option C finally came to fruition. So
who's up this week? You are. Oh shit, I gotta pick my homework.
Oh, You texted me, it's my turn for homework. Did I respond? Oh, shit.
Yes, no, but you've done that on the show. Like, oh, who's next? Or like you, and you're like, oh, fuck, I got to pick my homework for tonight.
It is better than asking what the homework is while we are on the show.
Tony, you are assigning homework tonight. Okay.
I can see how you can get that confused. Okay, yeah. Oh, shit, you know.
Little assholes.
There's an O in there, you know. HK.
Yeah.
Assigning homework? Fucking awesome.
It's going to become one of those things that you guys just keep doing during the whole show. Probably.
Doing things during the whole show? Fucking awesome.
It's going to be every other thing I write down for
every other thong. Thong.
Every other thong.
Well, it came and went, and the last time is now, is in the books. Saturday night's main event took place Saturday night.
Duh.
Tony, 2 hours before, and realized he didn't have Peacock anymore.
And you know what? I got aggravated. I can't justify paying for Peacock for a month when next month everything's going to be gone. So, like, what's the point?
January, I'm canceling this shit.
So Double T was gracious enough to loan me his gimmicks, and I got to watch it. But yeah, I wasn't dropping $10.99 for that. Although, truth be told, it was nice having Peacock for free for an entire year, so I can't complain about that. But it is what it is.
There was a pre-show, and I know
Well,
Kevin usually watches the pre-shows, but now that we do like ESPN and it's all fucked up, did you watch the pre-show?
No, I was doing some shooting with my birthday buddy and Justin.
All right. The only thing I saw from the pre-show that was worth mentioning was Jesse Ventura was on there. He's got a whole new look, and then he was
Stephanie McMahon.
No, it was not.
No, she was the host. Oh,
he was throughout Saturday night's main event. He goes, he won the championship 17 times, which means he lost it 17 times. Why are we celebrating that?
You know
Tony,
what?
Doesn't that make him
a fucking loser? Hey, man,
17 time fucking loser.
Jesse's absolutely right. And Jesse's playing the heel commentator he was known to be. And that's something that Jesse Ventura would say. So I have no problems with it. Everybody else could fucking eat balls.
Yep. Everybody else can, you know, suck his dick for the last night. Oh, we're going to miss you. Blah, blah,
suck
blah.
My dick. It's full of thermite paint.
All right. So I think you're each talking about sucking somebody else's dick. So Tony's talking about sucking Jesse Ventura's dick, and Brundo's talking about sucking John Cena's dick.
You can't suck him. I don't know.
Everybody's getting a dick sucked.
But yeah, I mean, John Cena's last match. There's a lot of people are wild.
Nope, people are stupid.
Well, that too, but that also makes people wild. This is crazy. Crazy town USA. I don't think it's a surprise to anybody on the panel here that he lost.
Not one bit.
We all predicted it. It was going to happen.
I know there's some question as to the way he lost, but I didn't see a problem with it. He had him in a fucking sleeper hold for like 8 minutes.
I wish he wasn't smiling when he tapped, but you know.
But I think that's like him realizing like him like knowing, just knowing like, okay, like I'm done. Like
knowing there was no way out because every time he had a flash of like, you know, trying to get out of it, Gunther went right fucking back to it. He even ate an AA and jumped right back up and got him back into it. I mean, it did go for a really fucking long time.
And I think that match was longer than the other three combined, or at least it was close.
Completely possible. But I have no qualms with the result. I also heard that Kevin Owens actually like was recovering at home and flew himself to DC just so he could be there for the moment. I also heard that fucking Nikki Knockers was eating shit because she decided to go to a fucking Pittsburgh hockey game or some shit.
A Flyers game.
Philly.
You're going to eat shit in Philly every time you go there.
But it's just weird. Like everybody else came out. And
I mean, she's, you know, divorced from John Cena. But
she's on the roster, isn't she? Well, they're not divorced. Yeah. They never got married.
Randy Orton wasn't there.
No.
They sent Randy off to Saudi, didn't they?
They were married, didn't they? He proposed to her in the middle of the ring.
He proposed to her, yes. They never got married.
They never got married?
No.
Oh, well.
She wouldn't sign like a prenup, so he was like, peace. See ya, you freak.
I don't know that whole fucking Divas, whatever that show was, that was all fugazi anyway. I don't think he had any intention of marrying her, to be honest with you. Whatever.
HK, where are you on the finish to John Cena's career?
I really don't mind that he lost. Like we all kind of went with, you know, knowing that he was going to lose. It's the right thing to do in a lot of respects. The way that he lost in the sleeper, I didn't necessarily mind that. The only thing that kind of stuck out to me that I wish they would have done differently is I wish he wouldn't have tapped. I wish he just would have went out. You know, for a guy that had the never give up on his across his shirt for however long that he did for his final moment to be him giving up was kind of disappointing to me. So I wish he would have just went night night. Or did somehow went, you know, hit the pinfall, however it would have worked out. That's the only thing. Like also that if that's the way he wanted to go out, I give a shit less, man. It's his last match. He how many years he's put in, all the accomplishments, he can go out the way he wants to go out. But that was the thing that stuck out to me in the finish, was for saying never give up for how long and then giving up was a little bit disappointing.
And I completely get that. It's a very valid argument, and you've seen it a lot in the last couple of days. But my question to that is, like, him passing out, that doesn't help him. And I mean, it helps protect him, but it does nothing for Gunther. So John Cena is going to go away forever and he's never going to wrestle again. And what, John Cena is just the guy, or Gunther's just the dude that made John Cena pass out?
Well, Gunther still won the match. I mean, and they could have went to a pinfall as well. I mean, does a pinfall mean more to you than John Cena giving up after, you know, always saying never give up? Or does a pinfall hold more significance than him passing out in the ring? I mean, Gunther went over either way. I just think, like I said, that it might be a little bit more sentimental of me than anything else to say I wish he wouldn't have tapped out.
Somebody made a great point against that online, and it's genius. And I think if you see it this way, it makes a lot more sense. It was John Cena putting an end to that, to the John Cena persona, to the character, to the larger than life personality. It was always never give up. But now you close that chapter by actually having him give up. And after all this time, he just becomes John Cena, the guy that he's always been outside of John Cena, the superstar that he was. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like closing the chapter, like closing the story, ending the book. He taps out. He gave up. That version of John Cena is gone, along with his career. So it kind of makes sense. It's kind of like, it's a more endearing story that way, I think. You know, my gut followed you to that point, HK, but then hearing that explanation, it kind of makes sense. And then Cena, I don't know if he necessarily was smiling, because if you notice when Gunther let go, his smile was kind of a frown. Like, his face really didn't change. I think he was just frowning and, like, it was all scrunched up and whatnot. So I don't really think he was smiling in a sense. But I think it plays well that after being in the hold for so long and after Gunther continuously, like, re-trapping him and, like, getting him back in the hold, it was kind of like, you know what? This is no way out. This is the way it's got to go, you know?
Any issues with it being Gunther?
Not at all.
No, because
not at all for me.
I think look so. They did a couple. Go ahead, Matt.
No, Brundle, you go.
Brundle, oh, okay. Please. I was just gonna say, look at the rest of the roster, and I mean, is there anybody else you would rather have in this position at this point besides Gunther?
I think the only argument,
throughout the year, he's already had the match with CM Punk. He's already with Cody, with Randy Orton, with all these other guys. So after all those stories were put to an end, you know, nobody else, it's not going to be Jey Uso. It's not going to be LA Knight. Gunther makes the most sense.
I was going to say, I think the only argument against that is that Gunther's already kind of made.
But you see, when Hogan wrestled The Rock was already made. There's a whole bunch of scenario situations. When Andre passed the torch to Hogan, Hogan was already made. Like, I don't necessarily buy the whole, like, already made argument. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is more of a solidification of Gunther's status. You know what I'm saying? Like the GOAT, the never seen 17, like the fucking, you know, the guy that's been here for 23 years, he puts the fucking it's more of a stamp of approval than it is of a passing the torch. You know, it's that solidification of Gunther being that guy. And Gunther took Goldberg out earlier in the year too. You know,
if you believe what they're saying, Gunther is also in line to take out Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, because Brock Lesnar is on the rumor has it that Brock Lesnar is going to retire this year, and SummerSlam seems to be his where he wants to do it, because it's in Minnesota and he has ties to Minnesota, and it seems to be like, we're going to make Gunther the guy, like, we're gonna put him Roman Reigns, he's gonna be Roman Reigns territory by the end of next year if he's not already.
And I did I liked that Gunther won the match, and he didn't do some like hug shit or whatever. He's the fucking ring general. He did what he had to do. He did what he said he was going to do, and he fucking powdered. And that was it.
Yeah.
Yep. No high fives, no hugs, no emotion. Fuck that. I just beat your fucking hero. I'm gone. I'm really interested in what's going to happen tonight when he comes out. Really interested.
Did you see he had to have security escort him to his bus after Saturday night's main event, because people were like chasing him in the street and like telling them to go fuck himself and losing their minds, screaming at him. It is silly to think that people thought John Cena was going to win, especially if you've watched the last 6 months. Like, ever since he lost the title to Cody, he lost to Brock, he's lost to Dom. Like, he's just putting people over on his way out.
Yeah.
I was going to go to old MB years. If Hogan versus Rock was a dream match, Cena versus Gunther wasn't really a dream match on that level, though. They could have used it to build someone like Braun or Oba.
Nah, because if you give one of those guys that win, you don't know what the future's holding for them. Gunther right now he's already a superstar. This puts him in the stratosphere. You can put a win like this on somebody as green as Obafemi or Braun Breaker. I don't think it makes sense. Now, years down the road, maybe Gunther's that guy that puts over the Braun Breaker on his way out, you know? Maybe he puts over the Obafemi on his way out, something like that. But Braun, Oba, like young guys like that, they'll have their time. Their time is a couple years away. They'll have their time for that stepping stone moment, for sure. Definitely not with Cena, though. I don't think so. I mean, Obafemi couldn't even beat Cody. I mean, right? I mean,
no, and I don't think that there's like, I think that Gunther is a great play, but I also think that a guy like Braun wouldn't be a bad play either. I think that Oba's still a little too fresh, but I think Braun's would have been a good play, but I'm perfectly happy with the Gunther play. I'm a big Gunther guy.
Yeah. Gunther's amazing. I was telling my kid, you know, just a handful of years ago, he was just some fucking pudgy monster who was destroying people in all across Europe. You know what I'm saying? Like, to see where he is now, the shape he's in, the look he has, the attitude which he carries himself, like, he's a fucking star, man. He's the fucking next thing. He really is.
Yeah, no, it's undeniable. It's undeniable. He's a character that works now. He probably could have worked in the 70s and 80s and 90s. Like, he's just like, he's that guy. He's that wrestler that, you know, he's not out there doing all these fucking crazy spots and taking all these wild bumps. He's a fucking wrestler.
Can I pick a couple of nits about the production and the presentation on Saturday?
Of course.
Pick nits if you must, my friend.
Positive. I did like the setup. I like that kind of entranceway with all the screens and like when Cena was coming out, I had all the pictures of him and stuff. Like, I thought that entranceway was cool. I do like that they let guys from NXT and TNA even got a fucking rub on the show. I like that those guys were involved. Negatives? This did not feel at all like a Saturday night's main event. We didn't get the fucking TV intro. We didn't get the fucking Obsession playing. Every once in a while when they were like going to commercials or like, you know, going to other people and shit or showing people in the crowd, we got the Saturday night's main event theme, you know, the da-da-da-da-da. But other than that, like this just felt like it was like a special, but not like a Saturday night's main event. And honestly, in hindsight, they probably could have got away without even having that kind of branding. You know what I'm saying? Like they could have just called it like the last time is now. I would have been completely happy with that. Right.
I'm
picking nits, but you can tell every time they do the Saturday night's main event, they're getting further and further away from that nostalgia feel.
Yeah. But you can tell anytime they do a pay-per-view too. Raw is 2.5 hours, 2 hours, 45 minutes. SmackDown's going back to 3 hours. The pay-per-views are 4 or 5 matches, 3 hours. There's nothing sets any of them apart, right? The pay-per-views, they're not pay-per-view. WrestlePalooza was not a pay-per-view. It was just a Raw. Survivor Series, yeah, they put two rings together and they threw a cage over the top of it, but it wasn't fucking spectacular, right? They're not doing anything to make these pay-per-views feel any different than Raws and SmackDowns. They're all the same length of time. They're all essentially formulated the exact same way.
It's all a gimmick to get people to pay for ESPN and pay for Netflix. That's all it is.
And SmackDown's going to be 3 hours now, too.
So like, what are they thinking?
I just heard that, yeah.
Yep. Wait, did he just... Oh, fuck me.
I missed something. Did I say something?
No, I was... saying Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views are all 3 hours long. And then
I didn't hear the SmackDown part. Yeah. Well, SmackDown technically isn't 3 hours long yet.
Well, I mean, half the time Raw isn't really 3 hours anymore either.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's like 2:45, but like there's four matches. They don't, every show starts off the same with the in-ring promo. It's all very formulaic.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, they've been starting off the same since, what, like 99? Maybe before that? Like I remember every McMahon-Helmsley era show starting off with them coming down. And then you switch on to Evolution, it was always them coming down. 20-minute promo.
What'd you guys think of the Joe Hendry and R-Truth and Miz moment?
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was the Miz stuff felt like I was kind of like he's and I'm like, yeah, why wasn't the fucking Miz involved? Like I was in the same boat. My fucking wife is watching with me today and she's going, why is he wearing a dress? Because that's dress. Was he wearing his fucking dress with just his underwear on?
I mean, I feel like it would have been more impactful if maybe 5 minutes before the Miz wasn't talking about how John Cena made him and how everything was great at WrestleMania thanks to John and blah, blah, blah. And then he comes out, fuck you. I don't have a fucking spot in the John Cena. You suck. It's like, you know.
Well, you know why? Because like he's putting John over. He's like, yeah, John did this for me and blah, 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 blah. But then he also feels slighted. How come I'm not involved in this shit? I was important to John's career. I beat the fucker at WrestleMania. Damn it. Like, I get that.
Although, and then they played in, like, he took someone's spot in the tournament, and R-Truth had the ball, and it was Joe Hendry's, yeah.
And R-Truth did the fucking Joe Hendry turnaround with him, and he was hugging him and shit and putting his head on him. It was a fucking cute moment. It really was. I got a kick out of that shit.
Cute moment. Okay.
It was adorable.
I gotta ask. Any tears shed?
No, I was bummed. I really wasn't, you know, crying sad, you know?
Yeah.
Why, did you cry? Double T was blubbering.
The videos get me. The video before the match, and the one after. I wasn't like sobbing.
No, but you can weld up a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
I had tears.
Bro, when they made him stand in the ring and watch that video, I'm like, what the fuck are they doing?
Dude, I think, and now I don't know, but I think they got him when they showed the Vince thing.
Yeah.
Even if it was old, I don't think he thought that would be up there, because you could see him like, he was like, he went to his eyes, like he was fighting something there.
Throughout that entire video package, if you look at him and then you are like, he is doing that whole like swallow deep, not gonna cry. Yep, swallow deep, not gonna cry. I'm good. Everything's fine. Yeah, the entire time.
But John has also said in every interview, regardless of what happens, Vince McMahon is like the reason I'm here, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Always paid nothing but respect to Vince McMahon. Mm-hmm. Always. Wouldn't shit on a coffee table for him, but you know.
So was the fuck you Hunter chance, were they warranted? Were you surprised to see him and Stephanie, of course, the first ones out?
Nope. No. Not one bit. I'm surprised he wasn't out there the second the bell rang.
I mean, Nick Khan was in the crowd high-fiving with everybody, too. Like, they were there.
That's in the crowd.
I'm surprised he didn't, give a big blow-me speech.
Spotlight.
Who the fuck else is going to lead him out of the goddamn locker room?
Now, and if Vince would have fucking came out to the ring, people would have lost their shit anyway. People were just looking for a reason to lose their shit.
Yep.
I would have really loved it if Stephanie bent over one more time for fucking John Cena to give her a smack on that ass.
Whoa.
Horny, gotta go.
Imagine going home that night. Mommy, why'd you let John Cena smack you on the hiney? It's a long story, sweetheart. You'll understand someday. That's my Stephanie.
Smacks your hiney.
Yeah. Come on, Brundo. Jesus. I almost played into that too, and then I realized who you were talking about. Come on, man.
I don't think her kids are like that age. The mommy.
Yeah, they're older now, ain't they?
They're older.
Are they buck older or are they?
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Youngest might be.
Oh, that's cool. Did you guys know that?
No, we're talking about anything.
Did you guys know that?
My brother just texted me. If you Google John Cena's name.
Oh, yeah, it does the thing, right?
At the bottom of the thing, there's like a little green hand, and you hit it, and then the whole screen disappears. I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Hmm. You can't see me.
Look at that. Oh, that's fucking awesome.
That is
John
cool.
Cena disappeared? Fucking awesome.
So they did the post show, and
his wife's name is Shay Sharazadagaza. What the
fuck? Swim tight.
Yes.
They did a post show. Of course, they did a post show, and Triple H was involved.
Bro, timeout. Hold up, Matt. Google John Cena. I need all four of us to Google John Cena.
I did.
Yeah.
All right. Take a look under spouses.
Let me bring it back up.
Wikipedia or
Elizabeth's last name.
Huberdew?
God, that tickled me.
Jesus Christ.
Huberdew. Holy shit.
I like how you did it.
So we get a post show, and Triple H was part of the panel, and the crowd there, they were not very favorable to Triple H.
Fuck them.
You fucked up.
AEW chance.
Yeah, AEW chance.
Ooh! Oh, AEW chance. Ooh. I'm surprised it weren't GCW chance, too. Ooh.
That would have been amazing.
Couple of W's.
Or no fucking MDK all day, every day.
All right, relax. You two fucking trolls over there. Jesus
fucking Juggalo. Whoop, whoop,
whoop. He's not against the Juggalos. Is the fan base who is at that show, are they overreacting?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got nothing else to add.
Oh, I was waiting. You said yup. Brenda said yup. I was waiting for HK to say yup.
Yeah, every fucking person over is overreacting constantly. Everybody needs to calm the fuck down. But yeah, these fans, 100%.
Okay. All right. I'm bringing it up. Bringing it up. It was part of the retirement tour. 10 minutes people were taken. If you want to be a part of this conversation, you want to talk John Cena, you want to share your memories, moments, favorite John Cena stuff, hit us up on Twitter or Instagram. Just slide in those DMs. I'll send you a link. You pop on the screen for a minute or two and chat with us. We'll be hopefully getting a couple people dropping by in about 10 minutes. overall...
Oh, wrestling Mark's overreacting. Forks found in kitchen make you snowy Everest.
I think we've had this conversation throughout the whole retirement tour. At the end of this was poorly executed, the whole thing. No,
what was
the John Cena retirement tour?
I don't want to say the whole thing. There were a few good sprinkles here and there. Like the Cody stuff was good. The CM Punk stuff wasn't all bad, especially the promos leading up to it. So I wouldn't give it a hard F, but
I would. Oh yeah.
No, I'm thinking this is definitely like maybe B minus B territory for me.
B.
Yes. Look, the way it started, that had tons of potential until the fucking Rock decided he didn't want to be part of it anymore and Travis Scott was fucking making burgers somewhere. So that kind of threw everything off the rails. And then I think eventually they were like, well, Cena just wants to go out as a face anyway. And then you could tell after the switch was made, Cena just started having fucking fun with the whole thing. And to me, I was having fun with the whole thing because Cena was having fun with the whole thing. I really was. Beating Dom, losing to Dom with all the interference and shit. All the shit with R-Truth wanting to become, you know, making like he was John Cena, all that shit, man.
Yeah, remember he left and everybody wanted him back and then he came back and then
all those assholes paid like $11,000 for tickets so they could all fucking eat a shit, eat a dick, eat balls, eat everything else that mama puts on their plate. Fuck them. Mm-hmm. I don't care.
Mama putting balls on the plate, huh?
Fuck yes, yeah, she is.
Mama got
once they're done under her chin, then she puts them on the plate.
You know what? There was one fucking asshole in the crowd. I don't know if you guys caught. That had a fucking sign, and it pissed me off. It had nothing to do with John Cena, and the sign said, "Bring back the Wonder Kid, Alex Wright."
It's a great sign.
That's a great sign. Yeah,
but he's not the Wonder Kid. He's Das Wonder Kid.
Oh, he can be.
If you're gonna bring him back, write the sign right.
But then he'd be Das Wonder Kid.
Yeah, it's Das Wonder Kid.
Wonder Kid. Then, if they're translating it to English, the Wonder Kid makes perfect fucking sense.
Hey, somebody say Wonder Kid.
Hey, SmackDown's gonna be 3 hours.
Go sit on your nuts.
Already did.
I don't know, man. I think they painted themselves into a corner, being like, this is gonna be his last
fucking
year.
Awesome.
And then we went from like, oh my god, a heel turn to him and fucking Travis Scott to then him just like cutting a promo on was it SmackDown where he's like, I don't want to be a heel anymore. My bad. Sorry for making that fat kid in fucking Belgium cry.
Well, how else do you get out of it at that point?
Now I don't know, but that's the problem.
You're under the gun at this point. He's got so many more appearances before the end of the year, and you have to fucking 180 pivot. Like, what else are you going to do?
But that's the problem.
I fucked up. Guess who's back? And you know what? They all took him back. Hey, it was much quicker for Hogan to pivot when they wanted him to become a face, right?
That was
the entire NWO thing went out. Hogan was running the Rock over in a fucking semi while he was in the back of a Bambalans.
Fans were still cheering
at that WrestleMania 18 match. That was organic. The where they turned was organic.
And you don't think that people cheer for John Cena at that point when he said, "Fuck this, I'm going to be a good guy again"? That was organic.
No, it wasn't.
Come on.
They didn't know. Here's the biggest problem for me is they didn't know what the fuck they were going to do with him. They were like, you know what? Let's turn him heel and see what happens. Ooh, The Rock did the thing. All right. Bring in Travis Scott. Okay, what do we do next? All right, let's give him this can here. Send him out with this can and have him crush it. Tell him he hates the fans. All right, what's next? Oh, I don't know. You guys got any ideas?
Yeah, make them face
some things down. Come back in a couple hours. Like, they didn't know what the fuck they were doing.
The Rock fucked it all up.
It's easy to blame The Rock, but it just...
Oh, yeah, you know, because it's his fault. That's why it's easy to blame The Rock. You don't remember the fucking press conferences last year where Triple H was like, I don't know who the fuck he thinks he is, but I'm in charge?
He should never have a live microphone in front of his face either, Triple H, stuttering and stammering through the fucking questions.
I'd like to see you answer fucking questions at a press conference.
I wouldn't do a fucking really press conference. It's fake. It's all fucking fake. The answer should be like written down. Whoever fucking dumb Sam Roberts or whatever jerk off is on this
dumb Sam panel. Roberts. I don't know.
I don't watch the fucking post show because it's
Rondo, we might have a winner. Because I want Sam Roberts to wake up tomorrow morning crying that this episode was named Dumb Sam Roberts.
He doesn't even fucking know.
I didn't hear him say stupid Peter Rosenberg or god-awful Booker T or dumb fucking Big E.
Yeah.
Nope. Dumb Sam Roberts.
Yeah. Is that who's, I don't know who's on the post show. Peter Rosenberg's a fraud, too. I know he's not a real wrestling fan.
To be fair, we fucking shit all over Booker T on a weekly basis.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, because he fucking
Matt tags
sucks.
Him in as the worst commentator of all time.
He is the worst.
Because he is. Yeah. No, I'm not arguing that fact at all. He fucking sucks.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Yeah, see? Worse than like syphilis. Fans.
Worse than syphilis. That's pretty bad.
That's pretty bad, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey man, Sam Roberts was in this very studio.
I like Sam.
Yeah, Sam's cool. Yeah, that Dave LaGreca cocksucker.
He's a fucking WWE shill too. His fucking shtick is old and boring.
Yeah. Just like him.
Too bad Mark Henry's premonition didn't happen after Saturday night's main event, where Joe Henry comes out and lays down for him. Shut the fuck up.
How does he not wear that salmon jacket to John Cena's last match?
He probably
ate it. He thought it was a salmon.
Oh man, Tropical's got a good question there. Booker T, worse commentator than Mike TNA?
Yeah,
100% by far and away.
Okay.
Do you watch NXT? Al. Don West was worse than Mike TNA.
I think Don West was probably worse than Mike TNA too.
Yeah. But Don West didn't have a wrestling background either.
That's true.
Booker T does.
Brundo.
Yeah.
Booker T, Larry Zbysko, everybody else.
I think it's Larry Zbysko is at the bottom.
Yeah. 1Z and 2Z. What
the fuck? 3Z. Zoom off.
Buck, buck, buck.
Don't. He's like Beetlejuice.
Yeah? Is that how it works?
Yes. Rock and roll showtime.
There's a Lydia joke in there somewhere, but
what how'd you guys feel about the rest of Saturday night's main event?
Sol Ruka and Bayley was great. I really enjoyed that match. And Sol Ruka's gonna be a fucking star.
I don't I don't like her finish.
I didn't like half the match. They were not here's what bothers me about the modern wrestling, not just WWE, across the board. Everything is so like scripted and like rehearsed. Like there's a body slam spot that they fuck up and they don't like just keep going. They have to reset and do the spot again. Just don't do it. You fucked it up. Like not a lot. I think a lot of the people in these companies don't know how to do things. They don't know how to ad lib in the ring. Right. Because everything is, and you can see it in matches. There's stalling and there's moments where people are waiting for their opponents to do things. We always make fun of it here. The dive to the outside where everybody waits.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like the Sol Ruka Bayley match was fine, but I felt like there was a lot of that in the match. And I hate her finishing move because it seems counterproductive. It seems like it hurts her just as much as it hurts.
It is. And if you're flipping away from your opponent instead of into your opponent, it takes all physics out of it. It really does. There's a lot of moves that do that shit. I'll tell you what I did like, though. That tag match, AJ slipped off the top. Who was in the ring with him? Javon? And he fucking
Leon, T, and Evans.
Yeah. So he jumped right on and covered him. Didn't miss a beat. Didn't go, what should I do? Saw the fuck up, took advantage of it. And then they worked into the finish with the Styles Clash without having to go back to the phenomenal forearm. That's the way to do it. That was awesome. And the flips and the dives there, there wasn't a whole lot of setting things up, waiting, whatever, whatever. Everybody fucking knew what the other guy was going to do before they were doing it. And they happened to fucking get there just at the right moment. And that was beautiful. I liked that match a lot. That tag non-title match was awesome.
I really enjoyed Oba Femi and Cody Rhodes because Oba looked like a million bucks. I knew Oba wasn't going to beat Cody, but just, I don't know, man. It was just...
It was a bad spot for having Drew McIntyre interfere. If they were going to have him interfere, I would have rather of it with Cody getting on the offense. But for both of the guys just to be down on a double down and then fucking... And then Drew comes in,
It felt like it took the whole air out of the arena. Yeah. Like, even when Cody and him were trying to pose, like, people are like, oh, like, Oba looked... fucking awesome.
I just don't like the things on his arms. I think that looks kind of goofy.
I don't know. 30 seconds into that match when Cody drops down for that punch he throws and Oba grabs him by the throat. Fucking jumped out of my seat. I love that so much. He's going to be such a fucking star.
Yeah. No, I thought that was... Overall, I thought it was a lot of fun. HK, thoughts?
Yeah, I think the event altogether wasn't bad. I think you kind of hit it right on the head, and we've had this conversation before when it comes to like Sol Ruka and Bailey. It's just the stuttering and not knowing what to do, and that's a lot of like you see a lot of with the people coming through NXT that didn't cut their teeth on the indies, that didn't like weren't forced to work their way through a fail in front of a live audience. So with Sol, I really think she's a stud. But there was multiple times while watching that match where I went, all right, knock that shit off.
Yeah,
the handstand shit and all, like fucking stop it. All right, it's a fucking enough. Like, we get it. You're talented. You're fucking athletic. Now use it maybe once. But not every single match. Like, some things you have to just find the right spot for. Don't force it. Don't force the athleticism. And she does that.
I think she was trying to show as much athleticism or like making, I'm not saying it's right, but making like a viral moment or something like that on the biggest stage she's ever been and like get a lot more eyes on her and something like that. I could see her saving it for instead of doing something like that on, you know, NXT TV when Booker T's grunting, you do something when millions of people are watching.
But she's doing that on NXT TV, Brundlefly. Like, right. That's what she is.
But I think, to Brundle's point, I think there's a lot of people who don't watch NXT.
Yeah,
that's right. Right? So this is their first exposure, and I would not be surprised if there's some Triple H or Bruce or Shawn Michaels is go 100 miles an hour out there and make your viral moment because that's kind of how the fan base consumes things now. But I'm with you, HK. Like, there's a time and a place. But for her to bust out like the handstand into the DDT and like all these other, like, it's too much. It's like when she does it the first time, like, fuck, that is cool. And then the next three moves, she does like the same kind of things. And you're like, oh, all right, well, the shine's off of this. Like, I don't.
That's, yeah.
That's what she does now. Like, I get it.
That fucking DDT would be awesome. Would be awesome if there was actually a set to it. Or if she, you know what I mean? Like, she worked into it, not just like Bailey waits for her and then she throws that fucking handstand DDT. Like, it bothers me. And I'm a big Sol Ruka fan, but that type of shit drives me nuts. Cody and Oba, no issues whatsoever with it. I would have liked to have seen a clean finish, even if it was Cody going over, but really enjoyed the match. AJ Styles, Dragon Lee against Javon and Leon was the only match that never really brought me all the way in. It never fully gripped me for whatever reason. I'm not really sure.
It was quick though, too. It was only like eight and a half, 9 minutes. Yeah, I mean, we needed more time for Stephanie. So
yeah, there you go. And then the main event, the one thing I did want to say about the main event that we didn't get to was on commentary after Gunther won. Cole did make the comment that he goes, tonight professional wrestling beat sports entertainment, which I thought was an interesting, call on commentary to even say that, that tonight professional wrestling beat sports entertainment. It struck me as off because you don't hear that type of shit on commentary. I just want to see what you guys thought about that.
You know how I feel about those two on commentary. I fucking hate the shit out of it. They're so inside baseball. I didn't even catch it. I don't even fucking
catch
care.
It. Okay.
I get so annoyed when they have to go inside baseball for everything. Call the match like it's a fucking legitimate contest and knock off with all the dumb shit that you say. Sorry. Continue.
You know what bothered me about Saul Ruka and Bailey as well? No, they both have.
He's broads.
They both had their seconds there, and they both have stories going on with them, and they both alluded to the commentary alluded to these stories. Nothing happened. They were just fucking there.
And you know what else? Lyra's fucking outfit can eat a shit. What the fuck are you doing? Wearing a goddamn oversized sweater with the little fucking thumbs hanging out? Bullshit. Get the hell out of here, all right? Take it off, bitch.
I'd like to see you in one of those.
I know you would. My nuts hanging out.
You know what Bailey needs to do?
Pretty small sweater.
No, I just got long nuts, Brendel Fly. You know that.
I know. That's why I said pretty small sweater, long nuts.
They're making a whole this and that now about Bailey having like the big hiney and everything. Wait, I would not be against her using the fucking Rikishi stink face as a fucking move.
Who said she's got a big hiney on commentary?
No, not on commentary, but like Nia Jax started that shit. You don't remember? I'm proud of my cheeks.
But Nia Jax clearly has a bigger hiney than Bailey.
Yeah, but I think if Bailey started doing the stink face, I think that would get over. Doesn't like gangbusters.
Nia Jax has a path to it. I don't think Bailey's got that same path.
Oh no, Bailey's got. Dude, have you seen Bailey's path?
I'm talking about like the heritage, right?
What the fuck?
No, I'm talking about her hiney, bro. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Well, yeah, but Nia's part of that whole family where the stink face comes from.
No, Bailey's got the shit locker. She needs to open it up.
What I don't fuck? Think you gotta open up the shit locker.
Well, how else do you get to the shit? It's locked
good,
away.
Good point.
Great question.
Yeah, is there a key or is it a combination?
She gotta let you in. Well, she gotta open the door.
Let me in.
Oh my god. Imagine approaching Bailey's hiney with the fucking lantern.
Can you not?
We're
try
coming.
And fly.
Run.
I thought Tony was going to be like, you know, they're doing a thing where she's like bipolar and she has like multiple personalities. He brings up some random thing that probably happened like 3 years ago. Because you know Tony is not tapped into what's going on in wrestling.
Oh, stop. I know everything.
Do you?
I know Tombstone Jesus had an amazing match last night.
You and me have a different term for amazing.
I mean, he was involved in it.
Yeah, he fucking sucks, okay?
Come on, man!
He fucking sucks, Tony. Stop. He's a nice guy. He's cool. He's fucking got a cool look. He rides a motorcycle. He can play rock and roll music. He sucks as a wrestler.
His son is amazing.
I've never heard of him.
His son rules. His
son can eat a bag of dicks.
Oh, wait a second.
We got a call in.
We got a call in here. Let me make the screen work for five.
Yeah, we got this. We got this.
All right. Brundle is Mark family.
Yeah, we could do this. And then we could just bring them in.
Just bring them in.
Bring them in where?
Oh, there they are.
All right.
Hi, Brundle's Mark family.
Hello.
What's going on?
How do you guys feel about Bailey's shit locker?
Wait. I saw Brundle drinking that beverage earlier. What is that?
You mean you don't know about it? What's wrong with you? I thought you were up to date with all the cool kids stuff.
Is that Bobby Hill?
Oh no.
What is that?
Oh no.
That don't look like Bobby Hill.
But that's kind of like Bobby Hill.
How dare you not know the future world's greatest wrestler?
Wait, that's Gunther? What is that?
Still Bobby Hill, I think.
That's the Rizzler.
No way.
Oh, what the fuck?
Oh, Arizona. I get it.
We're gonna have to...
Six Davis.
Back here if you need me.
Well, we're going back down to a 3-man show. Brundle, you're fired.
Oh,
Great start.
What's wrong with the Rizzomatiz? I like the Rizzler. I thought it was Bobby Hill. I swear to God. I thought there was like a Hank Hill beverage now.
It's called Alamo Beer, Tony.
So John Cena, right?
I can't hear them.
What do you mean you can't hear us?
He's got no ears.
I can hear you guys a little bit.
We had to join on the phone. My computer's not working.
I turn the volume on your phone.
So Brundo, who's on the left half of the picture and who's on the right half?
Well, the one with the glasses is my brother. And the other one with the glasses is my sister-in-law.
Is he older Brundo or younger Brundo?
Younger. Well, I'm older Brundo.
What the fuck is that?
is the top of your the top of your tree was smoking. It's the lights on the ceiling.
Yeah, the lights.
Holy shit!
Oh, that's your house pretty is on fire. Cool.
Your brother lose a bat and he has to wear a hook hat now. What's going on there?
That's a great hat, dude.
That's a fake.
First call is gangbusters.
So John Cena, yay, nay?
Come on, Brundo's family. What are you doing?
The fuck is
I can hear you guys on a little bit of a delay. So I know you asked me about John Cena. I mean, regardless of how I feel about how the match was, it was great. He's the reason a lot of people watch wrestling. He's the reason that I watched wrestling from whenever he got in until now. So regardless of how you feel about his in-ring ability or whatnot, you can't take away what he meant to WWE wrestling as a whole. And now he, you know, transcends to the zeitgeist.
Holy shit. Holy shit. Hey, Buck Zumoff joining us. Super insightful.
They do not.
That is so fucked up. God damn, Buck Zumoff.
I think you murdered Matt, by the way.
Oh. Wait, they left.
Oh,
see you later.
Oh, my God. They got to fix their settings so they could hear us.
Bro, fucking Buck Zumoff for the win.
No, Buck Zumoff not for the win. Thanks, Brundo's Mark family, for trying to call in. What? This is a whole new... When we were on Skype or Zoom, there was a phone call.
Zoom Hall.
No.
This is super insightful, got kids.
Will you stop?
It's not me.
All right, well, if you're in the chat or you're watching and you want to join us, just DM us on Twitter and I will send you a link and we'll try to get you on the show and we'll talk to you.
Look at that. I Dunk Biscuits. The Shitlocker's a great finisher name. Submission by Stink. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut off Al. It took him a minute to find his way, Al, but he made it.
Joe Hendry or Buck?
Really?
Buck. Come on.
Now, here I have, you know, we got the things here. I Dunk Biscuits has kept. He doesn't have some weird name on YouTube. Did you notice that? He's just same with Crew Prince of Pro.
That means they're probably like OGs, you know? They probably had their shit for a long time.
All right. Yeah, Apron Bump's the same way. But like even like HK's wife is like got some R2-D2 shit behind her name.
Yeah, Buck Zumoff does too.
I think that's his prison number.
XO6UN, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. XOFUN. All right. So John Cena's career in the I don't know. I really don't know.
What don't Brando, you know?
It's over, Johnny. Yeah.
It's a wrap. Is he? Yep. Is he the greatest of all time?
No.
No.
Nope.
We got another caller. Bring him in.
Oh, we'll bring him in. Oh, shit. All right. We're going to have to keep this thing off then.
Fine. I mean, you know, people reach out. They go on to Link. He's an OG.
No. I'm saying, like, we got the gimmick.
Hey! I figured it out.
Fuck yeah, dude. Right.
What's up, man? Oh, you know. Doing good. Finally got this setup all good with everything behind me. So,
your little lucha stuff. I like that.
Yeah. Started collecting lucha stuff this year. So, got a couple masks, some figures up here from old HK's friends, J&J.
Hey, attaboy, attaboy.
Yeah. Yep. Got in on the Black Friday sale. So,
smart man.
Fuck yeah. Yep. Are you in on the John Cena last time John is now Cena match?
I enjoyed it, and I understand that they're pushing Gunther of like, okay, he's going to be like the career killer now. There's a part of me that like, I don't understand like how in the moment you don't hear how the crowd's reacting and like call an audible of like, no, you're not going to tap out here. Or, like, maybe just let Cena win in that moment. Of just, like, because either way, it's like Gunther doesn't lose anything by losing. So, but I don't know. I just, it's crazy to me that they did the whole Hulk up out of the pin or out of the sleeper hold just for him to go right back into it and just smile at the camera while he's tapping out.
You did see a lot of them talking to each other during the sleeper hold spot. So I wonder if that was like, I'm sure at the end of the day, it's John Cena's last call.
Yeah.
Maybe Gunther was like, hey, do you think we should do this? Cause, but then like, I don't know, man, some of the best heroes, like when they get killed off in movies, like it sticks with us. It's like it makes it better.
I guess, I don't know. It's just, it sucks that Cena's last match is like, soon as it's over, the crowd's chanting like, oh, bullshit and all this stuff. And Cena's just sitting there. He's like, I know, I'm sorry. I tapped out or whatever. But it's like, it's not, we're not yelling at him. We're just yelling at how the whole run's been this whole year.
Yeah, see, they found somebody, I've said before.
They found somebody else quickly to yell at.
Yeah. But like, with that, MB, like, if they're mad about, like, this is how it's ending, like they're mad about the run up to it, then the finish wouldn't have mattered because they were going to be pissed either way. If that, you know what I mean? Like, if that's the way you're positioning the, like, why they're upset and why they're booing and all that kind of shit. So, and then you said that Gunther doesn't gain anything from,
he doesn't lose or like either way, like Gunther's still a made man, like no matter if he won or lost. And the way I look at it, like even Gunther winning, when you look at the landscape of things, it's like, he's not going to be in the world title picture because they already have Punk and Braun Breaker, like that set up. Unless Gunther's going to fight Cody, he'd have to go to the other brand. But even right, then, which, I feel like that's,
I think,
not,
I think they can get there.
I'd hope so. Gunther, like, I just don't understand the idea of like, okay, we're going to make this guy who's already been a multi-time champion for like most of his career there. And then it feels like he might be like fifth down from the card at WrestleMania if they don't put him in one of those spots.
And nothing.
Could he be a dark horse to win the world Royal Rumble, perhaps?
Oh, I'd hope maybe so. Move
on. Yeah.
But I don't. I just feel like what we're seeing with Braun Breaker and Punk in that, if Braun doesn't win the title on that January, like, was it January 5th show? I feel like this Braun Breaker's Rumble to win.
Oh, yeah, nothing for the time honored tradition of going out the way you came in, MB?
Oh, I'm fine with that. Like, okay. I understand, like, this is the moment of this, Cena's leaving. Do it, but it's like you've built the entire show around Cena and then you're surprised that, oh, everyone's pissed. Like at least when AEW did Sting's retirement, even though he did win, if he would have lost, they would have been fine, because it's like, oh, you just had like a 4-hour show of like all this awesome stuff and oh, Sting lost, whatever. This is literally, you built it around Cena. And then it's like, oh, yeah, he gave up. He tapped. The thing he never does.
Well, he hasn't done it in 20 years.
That's a hell of a protected finish. Even the Dudleys can't fucking say that.
They put it over on commentary, like, I get it, but him going out on his shield, all, like, him being the winner, like, doesn't do anything. It just sends the fans home happy.
Yeah.
Is there something wrong with that? Like, sometimes you can send the fans home happy.
I think she would have seen the quite MB.
He spent the last 20-something years sending the fans home happy.
For most of that, they weren't sent home happy because he was getting booed. Now they actually loved him. Give him the moment.
They loved him. They loved every second of it.
This is the one time they're not chanting, "Let's go, Cena. Cena sucks." They can have their moment.
It's the one time they're chanting that because this whole thing has been about him retiring. If this was just if he lost this match and then it came out today that was it, that was his last match, they would have probably chanted, "Let's go, Cena. Cena sucks," all last night.
They weren't too, right? Like, the last people, couple years, they were finally behind him, though. Even when he was coming back for like the Austin Theory stuff and losing for like years straight. Like, what was that? He was like a few years just not winning any singles matches on TV before this run. Yeah, but people are finally starting to appreciate him.
That's usually how it goes, Matt. Don't you know the Cinderella song? You don't know what you got until it's gone.
I guess so, but it's just, I don't understand that. It just feels weird to me that it's just like this, his whole mantra is never give up. And then it's just like, oh, yeah, by the way, you can give up now. Like, this is just what Cena's taught us now. Because he's okay with it. He's smiling. He's happy.
Maybe he was happy that it was finally over. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Maybe he couldn't contain himself.
He was in a sleeper for 8 minutes. Maybe he just wanted to breathe.
Maybe he was dreaming. Like, he was having, like prancing through lollipop fields and eating gumdrops and going down like the fucking like the Kool-Aid River. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he was in a good spot. He's like, yeah, I'm done. I could live with this.
Lollipop field and Kool-Aid River.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Like, can't just think Candyland. I don't know. What's the river made out of in Candyland? It's not like fudge. Kool-Aid.
Look, here's how I look at it, right? You ever just have one of those days where everything goes wrong and there's just a point where all you can do is laugh?
Is this a Limp Bizkit song? Or are you going to say everything's fucked, everybody sucks?
Golly, no.
No, I wasn't going to. But like, you've never been in that situation where like you just can't catch a break or the day. You just, everything is fucking wrong. And at some point you just fucking start laughing. Like, John Cena couldn't get out of the fucking sleeper. So what's he going to do? Fuck it. I just got to tap out. He didn't
or
give
maybe
up.
Maybe John Cena, the character, knew he was on his deathbed. Maybe he knew that this was the end, and he made peace with himself, and he went with a smile. Is there something wrong with that?
You don't really know why. You just got to justify ripping someone's head off.
The whole point. The whole point of Cena giving up. He's accepted. He finally can't go anymore. It was poetically beautiful.
Thank you, Mr. Biscuit.
Yeah.
Mr. Biscuits.
Who do you think you are?
I was going Taste the Biscuit, but I got you on the Mr. Big Stuff.
Dunk the biscuits.
Dunk the biscuits in the river.
Matt, you remember when Bailey had the shit locker angle? I don't. Tony does, apparently.
It was the interview where Nia made fun of her for putting on some pounds, and she said, "Well, I'm proud of this weight, and I'm proud of my cheeks." They didn't do anything with it. There was no follow-up.
I remember that now.
Steve,
yeah,
brother,
proud of my cheeks. I remember that.
Well, there was also, I don't remember if it was really a thing on TV or just online, but I remember Nia kept calling Bailey BBL Bailey, so that was like the whole thing behind it. I don't know if that was one of the things that was really like focused on TV as like a whole angle or anything.
No, but it should have been. It was cute. It was adorable. It was ironic. It was sexy. It had everything going for it.
The shit locker versus the hole. That feud should have gone years.
Oh, my God. The irresistible force against the immovable object. It's WrestleMania 3 all over again.
Which one's which?
Does it matter? No. Does it matter?
As long as I get a double down.
If you go on FanDuel, it's fucking, it's plus 100 either way.
It's a push.
Yeah. Oh, push.
I gotta get a push.
Double T, why do you hate Heine talk so much? It's better than bro stuff. Come on now.
What? Don't be talking about that.
Oh, here we go, Ma. I thought I told you to be quiet.
Jesus. I got a good shape. I'm in good shape.
I know you are, Ma. Oh, boy.
Matt, do you have a favorite John Cena match?
Well, I think my favorite, at least from like the earlier run, would probably be when he fought Umaga. And he like bled like crazy at that Royal Rumble. And then he choked out Umaga when he did the STF. And he was like so like adrenaline filled because of all the blood loss that he choked him out in the ring. And like the ref had to wake him up after the match.
That was with the ring ropes, right?
I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
But those are always like my favorite Cena matches, of where it's just like Cena, for some reason, I feel like he got so big, but no one ever realized like he was meant to be a hardcore wrestler. Because there's so many matches like that where it's just like Cena's insane. Like when he fought Brock, when Brock came back and he did like the run up the steps and just dove at him and flew out of the ring. It's just like he's a crazy person.
No, we're going to talk about it later when we do homework. That Judgment Day 2005 match against JBL, oh, yeah. The I Quit match, yeah, it checks all those boxes there, MB.
Yeah, that one always creeped me out whenever they did the, I know you'll talk about it later, but whenever he's like choking Cena and he goes to like say no when he's telling them like the I Quit stuff. He's like, no, but his voice is like cracking because you can hear like the blood and stuff like going down his throat.
It's insane. Yeah, we're going to cover it all later. Well, Matt, thanks for joining us. This was cool.
Yeah. Now that I finally got a setup and everything, I'm happy to join whenever, you know.
Oh, you keep
just
your
go
eyes
in your bathroom cool. Like Brundo does. Who gives a shit? We don't care what you got in your back room, in your bathroom, Jesus, and behind you, brother. We're good.
I'm not letting you guys join me in the bathroom. I'm not like Brando.
Hey,
but you didn't say anything about us being behind you. Oh shit, Julio's here.
Julio says nothing wrong with bro stuff, MB. Julio,
bro stuff comes up and Julio comes in.
Oh yeah,
nothing wrong with that.
Nope, we got two Beetlejuices.
Oh, yeah.
Two Beetlejuice. What's the plural of Beetlejuice? Beetlejuice? Beetlejuices?
Beetlejuices?
I don't. That doesn't sound right, though, right?
Beetlegeese.
I have to open a new tab because I did have to look up what a BBL was. I didn't know what that was. Plural.
So you're learning things.
I guess.
Shining Wizards, where you learn something new every week.
According to AI, it is Beetlejuices.
Okay. But you know what a BBL is now.
Yes, it's a Brazilian butt lift. Apparently, this happened in February before the Royal Rumble. So it did happen this year. I owe you an apology, Tony.
See? I know a thing or two about a thing or two.
Proud of my cheeks is a famous line from WWE wrestler Bayley used in a promo responding to Nia Jax's comments about her physique before the 2025 Rumble.
Now
that
we got
up on my Instagram shorts a lot back then.
That's not the only shorts that came up, Brundo. Oh shit, I googled Bailey Heine. That's actually a person in New Jersey.
You have contact information? I'll try and book him.
That's fucking hilarious. Whoops, I just made somebody famous.
Jeez Louise. All right, Matt, we're gonna take a break. MB, True Prince of Pro, thank you for stopping by.
Thank you, brother.
He's an OG, like an OG wizard. So we always love talking to you, and it's nice to see your beautiful face.
Oh, thank you. I am very beautiful.
He's like Don Mysterio's doppelbanger. He's got wool hat on. He's got the mustache.
Wearing a Don Mysterio shirt on right now. The King of the Luchador shirt.
Of course you are. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll see you next week in the chat, but since we're live, enjoy your holidays, man.
Oh, you guys too. No, I'll be hopping back in the chat now.
All right. We'll see you there, MB. Thanks for stopping by, brother. All right. I got to take a lizard.
Hey, can I hit something real quick before we go, before we forget again?
What, your family members?
Jesus fucking Christ. No, just want to send congratulations out to Mr. William Mercier for getting married. Congratulations to you and your lovely wife.
Yeah, we forgot to mention that last week, and then we talked about it afterwards.
A ring is going to be on William Mercier's hand. You know what I mean?
Draw those oysters.
I mean, I've never had a nosebleed while I was taking a shit.
I think you cut off HK's fucking zinger.
Oh, I didn't hear. I'm sorry.
It's fine. It's okay. It's okay.
Did you? Are you doing it live?
Minnesota.
It's okay. It's all right. It's okay.
I actually have audio from William Mercier's wedding night.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's the funny with your pee-pee on me?
No, you should have sent me one of Punani.
Do I have me one?
Of course you do. By the way, real quick before we take the break, when I played Over the Top last week, when HK mentioned it, fucking copyright strike right in the mail.
What the fuck was that?
I don't know, HK. What are we doing?
What are we doing? I got to go pack for Mexico. We'll be right back.
It was such a fucking mess.
I would like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in each week to The Shining Wizards. Here are some other ways in which you can support the show. If you shop at Amazon, visit amazon.shiningwizards.com and shop the way you always do. You'll pay the same low prices, and a portion of your purchase will help support the show. If you'd like to buy a Shining Wizards t-shirt, visit merch.shiningwizards.com to visit our pro wrestling tee store and select from over a dozen great designs. You can also become a Patreon supporter at patreon.shiningwizards.com, where we offer bonus content, producer credits, and so much more. Continue to listen to the show wherever you listen to podcasts and watch along live on social media. And don't forget to like, rate, review, and subscribe. Your continued support helps us to continue to bring you the best in professional wrestling podcasting.
It's time for your weekly lineup of shows on the Shining Wizards Network. Start your week with the latest from Gorilla Brain, featuring the year of Duke and Rogue, covering a year's worth of classic wrestling. And the Tots Pod, introducing the world to wrestling figure collecting. Follow up with 30 Screams or Less, a weekly review of horror movies in 30 minutes or less. And the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling. The Network Week continues with The Mark Order, your place for everything AEW. And the ROH Revelry, covering everything in the history of Ring of Honor. Later, it's Radioactive Metal, bringing you everything from the world of heavy metal music. An Inconclusive Breakdown, keeping you up to date on everything happening in the world. The Shining Wizards Network is also the home to other great shows, like The Brocast, your watch-along podcast from Down Under. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, paying homage to the greatest shows in the history of pro wrestling. Wrestling Night in Canada, a focus on wrestling with a North of the Border spin. And Going Underground, a show that takes you back through the history of Lucha Underground. Enjoy all of the amazing shows on the Shining Wizards Network, available wherever you listen to podcasts and at shiningwizardsnetwork.com. It's the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
You ever find yourself in the men's room and you've had one windjammer that's stuck in your butthole and it just doesn't want to come out, no matter how hard you push or try to cut it? You need to get yourself a pair of turd tongs! With a comfort tip and a cushion grip, it's the easiest way to get those windjammers out of your butthole. And if you act now, you can get the bonus butt scraper absolutely free. Get a set for your car, put a set in the office, have one in each bathroom in your home. Turd tongs and the butt scraper will absolutely help you. You'll be so happy, you'll want to spend every waking moment in the men's room, even if you don't have to go to the bathroom. So get on the phone right now. Call 551-333-1030 for only $19.95 plus $3 shipping and handling, or send check or money order to Turd Tongs at the address on your screen.
It's the holiday season, people. Get those Turd Tongs. You'll have them in a couple of years. It's a great gift. It keeps on giving. Just like the Shining Wizards Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. We just dropped the latest Rogue Indie Chronicles today, where HK opens the show with a gigantic a belch. Like, you got to hear it to believe it. Me and Tony did the third installation of the Wizards history. And I believe a fun bonus show is dropping on Christmas. It is the post show where we decide the name of the episodes. And this is a compilation from about the last 3 months. So it's a lot of nonsense, but it's definitely worth $3 a month. That particular episode will be a lot of fun to listen to because we haven't heard it. Tony's the only one that's listened to it, and I can't remember what we talked about last week after the show. So it'll be fun to hear what we did 3 months ago. We also have the Shining Wizard Street Team. At Wizard Street on the social medias. SJ is out and about. She'll be at Winnipeg Pro Wrestling's Snow Mercy. What does this say?
Snow in the Burt.
Cold out. Cold out. Cold out. Snow Mercy. That's taking place January 22nd. SJ will be there. She'll be also at the WPW show in February.
Oh, and love then, is in the bird. Love is in the bird. Every time I look around. Let's
see, hold on. Is it on WPW? What's the fuck? WPWmuscle.com. That's not it.
Wait, what's WPW Muscle?
Sure?
I don't know.
You should definitely go there. You should click every single link.
I'm not going every to any of those things.
Oh, WPW Max, the best in female bodybuilding. What is this? Bro,
SJ will also be. She will be at AEW. They're coming to Winnipeg April 1st for a Dynamite Collision taping. She will be there, giving away Wizards merch, and she'll be at the February WPW show, I believe, which is somewhere on this timeline. It shows you how much I was prepared for this today,
bro. WPW Max, bro. Holy shit.
No. No.
Yes.
No.
All these just fucking, dude, concert hall.
It's all these muscle chicks and they're just posing for you, bro.
In the Burt?
It's so cold in the Burt. You guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
It's so cold in the D.
Fuck yeah.
One of the best Beavis and Butthead shorts for videos. It's so cold in the deep.
How the fuck do we supposed to keep peace?
So there's a lot going on with the Shining Wizards and the wonderful people that are involved.
Cold in the deep, put on a coat, fucking awesome.
Going to the Burt, fucking awesome.
Hey, also, loving the Burt, fucking awesome.
Also, just for shits and giggles, if you are subscribed to us on YouTube or you're thinking about doing it, we've been dropping episodes from the vault, old interviews. On Friday, I dropped the old interview with Joe Hendry I got to talk to him for the we were going to do a special brawl at the hall February 4th WPW. Suck it. Yes. Got it. Sorry.
Wait, was that the Joe Henry appearance?
No, the Joe Henry appearance. it was back in the day we used to do like special episodes where we would do a lot of stuff with Ring of Honor, their 17th anniversary show, their 18th anniversary show. So we would do we'd get individual interviews, we'd do them all, and then we would put it together as a fun special bonus show. So we did that for the 18th anniversary show. Unfortunately, the Ring of Honor 18th anniversary show also coincided with COVID-19. So we did all these interviews, Joe Henry, Slex, I forget who else was on that show. Shane Taylor.
Was Punishment Taven Martinez too? On that show?
No, I think there was 17.
Okay.
But I'd interviewed Joe for the 18th anniversary show, and then a day before it was to drop, COVID-19 happened and they shut everything down. So the ROH 18th anniversary show never took place. We still aired the episode because it's a great interview with Joe, and this was years ago. So that's on YouTube. This Friday, the interview that we did with Jordan Oliver drops. And that was right when he was at the height of injustice in MLW. And he was coming off of the viral clip that he had with him and Blake Christian, where people were losing their minds. So we talk about that a little bit. So that'll be a fun interview. And then we have an Ethan Page one dropping around Box Day, right? That's the day after Christmas.
Yes. Boxing Day.
Oh, yeah, no, Box Day.
No, what the box fuck day. Is Box oh, yeah. Day? All right, I got to find out if there's a Box Day.
I got to say it because SJ just a big announcement for January. She TK'd us here.
Oh, I like the font.
Me too.
Did you do that, HK?
I did not.
Oh, I love it.
Big fan. It showed up and it was like that.
Probably the Mark Order guys. Wait, I don't care for it.
Hey, Tony, also, you know what I found
out? They don't do a show, Tony. Come on.
Well, Mark Order's still airing things?
It's like the B team.
That's old school.
Tony, did you know that your girl Hollywood from GLOW, like, she may have dabbled in a little porn back in the day?
I don't know about porn, but she does them wrestling and boxing videos. You sure it was
but
porn?
I'm talking about like back in the day.
What do you mean by the day? Like, how long are we talking?
I don't know. When she was not, I mean, she's still an attractive lady now, but like,
oh,
30 years ago.
No, this can't be. No, this is not her.
Did you? That was you. Found it fast. If you did,
no, it. It's definitely not her.
Okay,
I don't think she did a movie called Long Jean Silver.
I think it was her and another one of the girls. They got involved in, you know.
Are you sure you're not talking about like Misty Blue?
No,
and Linda, and Linda Dallas.
I know Misty Blue did some. I met Misty Blue. I have a Misty Blue autograph somewhere.
I know you do. Oh, dude, these videos are gross. This is not her.
What are you watching? Two Girls, One Cup?
Jesus Christ. You want episode names? I got great episode names here.
Please, no.
Holy cow.
That's one of the
names? An episode? Holy cow?
No, no, no. There's other ones.
Must be a bestiality thing.
No, it has to do with like mothers, but I, you know.
anywho, moving on.
Oh, here she is. All right, I found her. She's on Babepedia.
Babepedia? What the?
She did solo and bondage videos. Oh, good for her.
Yeah, I told you.
Fuck yeah. Boobs fake slashed enhanced. What the fuck?
I mean, you gotta have the stats, I guess. No,
dude, the stats are insane, right? Hair color brown, height 5'7", body type athletic, and then it gets into pubic hair shaved slash Brazilian.
Fucking awesome.
Sorry, Ma.
I'm not talking no bad things. You just talk bad things.
She is quite the dish, though. She's a very attractive woman. She's oh, Christ. I'm scrolling down. More like Jeannie Bissonne, right? Raquel Rodriguez is here.
No.
Nancy Benoit, or what? You know, woman. Misty Blue Simmons.
Misty Blue, Jesus.
And old Donut Belly.
Like on Babe
of Oh, Marina. And Marina Shafir's here too.
What?
She's a badass. Fucking awesome. Babepedia on the Jeannie Bissonne page at the very bottom. It gives you like also like more like, I guess, because they're related because of wrestling. I don't know. Jesus. Let's see what Kelly Klein did.
Babepedia?
Babepedia. No, it just has her as an American former pro wrestler, best known for her time in Ring of Honor. She doesn't have any of the vital stats listed.
What's that?
Oh yeah, I got Babepedia. You got today's birthdays?
No, I got to go to the main page. I got to see who's born today.
Christ, do we get a cut out of this Babepedia?
I don't. I wish, bro. The main page has got some honkers.
There's some babes that were born today. Jesus.
Oh, like today? Today?
Today? Today?
Today? Oh, Jesus today? Christ!
Jesus!
Yeah. Bro.
Kristen Too Sweet is celebrating her 28th birthday today.
Happy birthday, Kristen.
Denise Cremieux is celebrating her 29th birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Denise.
Don't go to Babepedia, people.
Please go to Babepedia. Yeah.
I like definitely. This honest porn reviews. Like, there's any other porn reviews?
Well, not those jokes. The corporate reviews.
Bro, there's a lot of babes having birthdays today.
Yeah, there is.
Oh, shit. Kristen Ritter from Breaking Bad is 44 today. Look at that.
Happy birthday, Kristen.
Oh, my goodness. This is wild.
Yeah, it is wild. There's no
way. Fanny Steele is turning 48 today.
Good Lord, that old battle axe.
Fanny Steele's got
How's Fanny looking these days?
There's a little bit of tread left.
I'm going to try. There's no way to say way out of this, so I'm just going to ask. Do you guys have a favorite John Cena match?
Whoa! Amina Chubby, good Lord.
Happy birthday, Amina.
Somebody got a horse face. All right, I think I had enough of Babepedia.
Sorry, Matt. Edwards.
Is John Cena's birthday today?
Yeah.
Jesus, did you see Denise Derringer? She's turning 55.
Oh, yeah, she's the one with the hitters, right?
Jesus.
Good Lord
John Cena, do you have, Brundo, do you have a favorite John Cena match?
Should we
John
share
Cena,
the screen?
CM Punk, Money in the Bank.
Should we share the screen?
No, not share. Probably no.
Yeah.
No. Please don't share the screen.
There's a lot of people that want to see Babepedia.
They want to wish all these lovely ladies a happy birthday.
They go on their work computer and look it up.
You're going to get us another block on YouTube. Can you not?
For Babepedia? They're not showing, you know.
Well, some of them are.
Did I go to the wrong Babepedia? Because the whole front page was naked chicks.
No, oh, you just saw Beav?
That's the right place.
No, the birthday page is very tasteful.
Dude, there's two pages of birthdays. It says showing page one of two. How do I get to page two? Oh, look at that. If you click here to select another date, you can go to any date in the calendar year and find out whose birthdays are there.
Find out that's a very good thing.
Who do you share a birthday with, Tony?
No, I'm looking up November 21st. Kelly Gallagher, she's a cutie. She's showing some hiney. Oh, Hannah Uwu's birthday is the same as yours, pal.
Happy birthday, Hannah.
Holy shit.
All right. I also share birthday with the Bella twins.
Both of them? Oh, yeah. There's Nikki Bella. Look at that.
Both of them?
How come Nikki gets a separate entry and then the Bella twins get one? Like, that's weird, right?
I also share a birthday with WWE Hall of Famer Asuka.
Wait, Asuka's on the fucking Babepedia?
And Shane Douglas.
They're not on Babepedia.
No, I'm trying to bring it back to
Hey, Goldie Hawn turned 80 this year on your birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Goldie.
Give a shit.
Why are you so angry? Oh, shit. Angry. Jenna Malone, too. Who's Jenna Malone?
Happy birthday, Jenna.
Wait, is Jenna Malone from the Jersey Shore, or is that a different? No, it's Jennifer Ross.
Money in the bank. I'll run
out. All right, money in the bank. I'm sorry. Money in the bank.
Well, do you have a favorite John Cena match, Tony?
My favorite John Cena match? All of them are tied.
You're such a fucking hump. I know, Handsome Kevin, you have one.
So I would say more than anything, I have a favorite like time period. Like one match doesn't stick out for me, but I think at that certain point in his career where it felt like he kind of got pissed off at fans for saying that he couldn't wrestle, and he started kind of opening up his moveset. It's during the Open Challenge time period, the U.S. Open Challenge. I think that he was putting on some fantastic matches every week on Monday Night Raw. So I can't like point to one match of his and go, that's the one I want to watch over and over again. It's just more so that time period, because I think that he kind of started taking a different approach and incorporating some different things and showing people like, hey, it's not just the, you know, the five moves. The five moves work, and the five moves, you know, still work. But he also showed people that there's other layers to what he can do in the ring. So I point to that kind of time period and go, he did a lot of great stuff.
Yeah, that time period, I believe, had that Seth Brock Lesnar triple threat. Jesus, that was a great fucking match.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm always going to be a fan of the Doctor of Thugonomics. I loved everything about that. When he would come out and just fucking rapping and throw these nuts at people. I love that shit. That to me, I know it's like up and coming John Cena, but every once in a while he would pull that out for nostalgia, and it just fucking hits every time, every single time. The one thing that I did bond with my son with during John Cena's career was when John was trying to do the fucking springboard stunners and he fucking looked like a chode every time he did it. Yes. My kid, he would laugh his balls off and go, what the fuck is he trying to do? I said, he's trying to change it up. He goes, he should stop.
It seemed like during that time period, he would take, or he would sell a little bit differently too. Like it was really weird because you got so used to seeing what he was doing every week, and it was always kind of the same, a hash of the same, you know what I mean, or at least a little bit adjacent to the same thing. So when he started kind of opening up a little bit in his style, I thought it was very, very fun. He's definitely up there.
Also fun was the U.S. Open when he was the United States champion.
That's what I was, Tony, that's what I was just talking about. SmackDown's also going to be 3 hours.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Let me double check.
Can you confirm that?
That's not it's not on Babepedia. So.
Put the Babepedia away, you fucking pervert.
You started this.
Christ. Yeah, I guess I did, yes. He was the number one wrestler in the PWI 500 three times. He has 11 Slammy Award winners. He has Insult of the Year.
What was it?
In 2012 to Dolph Ziggler and Vicky Guerrero. You're the exact opposite. One enjoys eating a lot of nuts and the other is still trying to find his. he has Best Gimmick in 2003, Best Interviews 2007, Feud of the Year with Punk, Match of the Year with Punk at Money in the Bank. He has seen it all and done it all. And yeah, you know, Matt Burch was kind of right. Like, you kind of want to, you wanted to send him home happy, and we didn't get it. And my point was that he spent the last 20 years doing it, but you know, you don't know what you got till it's gone. Like when we started this podcast, he was already in the, like, we're sick of Cena, like, era. Cena wins, we riot. Like, everyone was pulling for Punk against Cena and Money in the Bank. Like, we didn't give a shit. Jesus
John
Christ.
Cena surviving Rob Van Dam, the fucking onslaught of the crowd.
Happy birthday, Bo.
Just stop.
Wait, what happened?
You don't want this. I'm trying to get through the show.
What happened? I'm contributing. I said Rob Van Dam. I love that match.
15 minutes on Babepedia. Now you're sending us.
What do you mean wasted?
Not wasted at all.
We're going to fucking 10 tonight. Forget it.
Yeah. There's so much more wrestling to talk about.
And talk about wrestling. That's what we do.
Is there anything else we want to say about John Cena before we move?
Berry, forward? Berry, Bulberry, Banana, Fana.
I did want to say that fucking sweet tug. You had asked earlier, Double T, if he is the greatest of all time.
Yes,
I did. And I think that there's a lot of different ways that you have to approach like that question. And I think that it's way too easy to just have that like recency bias and go, no, it's too soon. We can't say that he's the greatest, or that recency bias to say, no, I mean, of course he's the greatest. Look what he's done. But I do think that he 100% is in that discussion and that argument. And anybody that goes with, yes, he is the greatest of all time, I would not argue against it. Yeah, I just wouldn't. He carried the company for a very long time. Talk about a guy that showed up every week in, week out, great on the mic, ring skills, you know, and every now and again would lack. And that's the one thing that like everybody would get pissed off about was, you know, kind of his ring skills. But for everything that he did in the ring, everything that he did outside of the ring, like if somebody says, yes, that's the greatest of all time, I will not argue against it.
No, look, I saw a great thing on social media where someone at the top of the picture was Hulk Hogan giving the leg drop, and it was like, our fathers told us about him growing up, and the bottom was John Cena, and it was like, we will tell our kids about him growing up. Like,
yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, yeah, and look, the Hulkster, he didn't have a great moveset either. Like, but nope. Like he fucking checked all the boxes. Same thing with Cena, checked all the super charismatic. Fucking, we loved them. Like, you loved them till you hated them, right? Some people, I don't know. I was not there for the Dr. Thugonomics.
I hated him till I loved him. So that's how I always fucking hated him until I finally like at a certain point, he's kind of clicked. I went, you know, this guy fucking he's got everything that you want. Why do I hate him so much? So
yeah. So that's it for John Cena. It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
Word life.
There was more wrestling this week. We don't have to dive deep into anything. We don't have to do a 2-hour and 45-minute show. Brendo, I'll defer to you. Is there anything you would like to talk about?
I would say AEW's hitting a home run with the C2 right now.
I'm with you.
Yep.
I'm like, don't. These two fucking shows down here.
Mike, yeah. You know what? I noticed something this past week. Mike Bailey's got a gigantic fucking head. His head is gigantic. And I don't think it helps that he wrestles barefoot. Makes his head look even bigger. And let me ask you this.
Yep.
Dick biting. Never in a million years would I have ever thought to bite the Undertaker or fucking... or fucking Paul Orndorff or fucking the Magnificent Morocco or anybody else putting a pile driver on someone the balls. You know why? Because it's fucking weird and it's stupid. And if somebody would have thought of it in the 60s, they would have been shot.
Nobody was doing that in the 60s, you old choke.
There's a reason nobody ever did it ever until 2025 because AEW didn't exist in their stupidity. They didn't permeate fucking wrestling yet.
Yeah. You know who didn't get a tombstone? Jack Perry.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, but he looks like he's been dropped on his head a few times anyway. So what's the fucking penalty?
I don't know. I just don't like.
Well, you're gonna fucking justify biting the dick?
No, I'm not justifying. I just you're starting.
Is it telling a story?
No, thank you.
Are we gonna call him like the Shark Boy Jack Perry now? Because he likes
going to bite in on Mike Bailey has a big head, and I don't think it helps that he wrestles barefoot. Those two things have nothing to do with each other.
Yes, they do. He looks like a bigger chode. He looks like Big Head in NBA Jam, like he's gonna fucking fall over. And his teeth, you know, like just dude.
Not his teeth, you asshole. It's a mouthpiece.
Whatever. He looks like he should go.
No, it's not whatever. It's not his teeth. It's a fucking mouthpiece.
Bottle. Now I know why Mark Order doesn't do a show every week anymore. I wouldn't want to talk about this shit either.
They did one last week.
I know.
Do you two want to go take a bathroom break? Me and Brundo can talk about AEW for like 2 minutes.
Nope. I don't piss like a bitch. It ain't midnight. Like a bitch.
Pissing like a bitch? Fucking awesome.
Anyway, we got new women's tag team champions, Babes of Wrath.
Great. The fucking pit is lost. Whoop-de-doo.
Brundo, I'm with you. I think this year's C2 is the best tournament that they've done.
Hi, honey.
In terms of the C2. The matchups are great. They're really setting it up where we're going to get some good matches down the line leading into World's End that you know, are going to matter. Now, my only complaint is that it's for this. I need someone to sit down and explain to me what is the point of them unifying all these titles if only one of the titles now that was unified is being presented to the winner.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I was totally expecting this to be for both belts. I thought both belts were the belt now, but.
How about you just make it for a title shot like the G1?
That's fair also. I mean, I guess they want to do like the C2. Shot. They want to do like the C2 title shots throughout the year. You know, where they have the special rules for it, where it's 20 minutes. Nobody can interfere during it. No managers. All that fun shit. But stick to that.
Yeah, no, great set of tournament matches this week. Okada Jack Perry was great. Mike Bailey, Kyle Fletcher was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Claudio and Takeshita on Collision. Mike Bailey, Kevin Knight, like great, great matches. They mean something, right? The points, this is exciting. Okay, you don't like it. I get it.
I didn't say anything.
You put a fucking gun to your head like you want to blow your fucking brains out.
I did. I was doing Jeff Hardy.
Jeff Hardy, my ass.
I thought Jeff Hardy was this.
No, I thought Jeff Hardy was this.
Nah, he's sending fucking messages Wednesday night about Samoa Joe. Why is Cheeseburger Eddie getting a title shot?
Yeah, what the fuck? What did he do? He's mad at Joe, so he gets a title shot? Is that how it works in AEW?
Yeah, Tony, you forgot. He said, hey, man, I'm going to be there on Wednesday. You'll be what I say, title shot. We'll see you there.
I mean, I don't hear you guys fucking complaining about Drew McIntyre, who loses every title shot he gets, but he's once again back in the title picture with Cody.
Because he's a dick.
Oh, Joe's a dick, so somebody's got to knock the dick out.
Out of your mouth?
In a row?
Hey, come back here.
You don't like it, that's one thing, but if you're hate watching it, like, I don't understand.
No, I try to watch it, and then something aggravates me, and I'm like, yeah. No. Oh, no, 2 hours. The fucking title match, it's 10 o'clock, and they're going, we're going to stay with this, but we got to take another commercial break.
They got the overrun, Tony. Don't worry. They got the overrun.
I'm with you. The show
they're
is
taking
not
commercial
perfect.
Breaks in the overrun. Who put commercials for the overrun?
Listen, it was 9:57.
The show is not perfect. They could do without it going over 10 o'clock
write that down, please.
Every fucking Wednesday.
Please write that down because I think it's apropos for this show as well.
Tony, here's what I decided to do.
What's that, buddy?
I'm not going back until after the tournament's over. I'm just fucking not fucking touching it. I'm staying away. I went back. I watched one episode, and they were doing the tournament. I said, nope. I'll be back after the tournament, and I'll see what's happening then.
Can I ask a question?
Yes. Yeah.
So, like, Andre the Giant, he's considered, like, the king of the battle royal, right? Yeah. Why? Because he was 7'4" and damn near 400 or 500 pounds for almost his entire career, right? So it would take, like, a lot of guys to get him off his feet, to get him out of the battle royal. So you can understand when people say he's the king of the battle royal, right? Just like some of the old-timers, like, they were the king of, like, the barroom brawl, or they were the king of the brass knuckles match. What the fuck is this? Like, oh, he's the king of tournaments. What does that mean? He wins more matches than anyone else?
Lots of people win more matches than anyone else.
Because the G1, fucking... Okada's won more matches at the G1. He's won the most G1 tournaments, I believe.
You know who's won a lot of matches? Tito Santana. Does that mean he's the king of wrestling?
It makes fucking sense. This guy has a history of winning tournaments. Why wouldn't you play that up during a tournament?
You would play it up if it was during a single night tournament. Otherwise, he's just winning matches.
But it's not a single night tournament.
That's what I'm saying.
He knows how to win matches. He knows how to.
Yeah, but he's not doing anything any different than somebody who wrestles every week does, you know?
But it makes fucking sense. He has a history of doing well during tournaments. Not everybody watches it, people.
MB says the C2 will never matter to me, no matter how good the matches are, because it always feels like they're fighting for one of the least important prizes in AEW. And that tells me a lot there, too. The least important prizes in AEW. Why are you having the prize if it's the least important prize?
And they split it from the other prizes that don't mean anything, so it means even less.
God, you can pull that shit out of a crane game.
Now, remember when they gave Cheeseburger Eddie 3 belts and they took them all away and they just handed them out to other people? Do you remember?
It's all right, though. They just gave a belt shot.
Tony, I can't ask. I think Brundo, I know Handsome Kevin doesn't watch New Japan. You'd never felt this way about the G1 until AEW started doing the C2, though. You never complained about the G1.
No. Because these things don't fucking mean anything in the grand scheme of things. The G1, it has a fucking end game. It has a meaning behind it. It's not like, oh, you're going to get the Continental title, the big title, the little title with the fucking crown and this and that and blah, blah, blah. Who gives a shit? Okada walks around with this thing like he owns the company. Newsflash, brother, that belt don't mean shit. Did they lie to him? Did they go, oh, hey, it's the international title. That means more than the world title because it's international. Like, seriously. That's what sticks in my craw. Now, if you told me it was the fucking Young Bucks $1 million invitational tournament, now you're talking. They're having another fucking match for $1 million, right?
It's for the same $1 million.
That's the story.
Because they stole it from what's his name?
Yeah, they stole it.
They have fucking 15,000 worthless belts. You can't throw one at the Young Bucks and go, here, fight over this asshole.
No, they're fighting for the million
bucks. Why can't they give him the Ring of Honor 6-man titles? Give him something. Where are the Von Erichs? Are they still the champs?
No, it's Shane Taylor and Charlie Bravo and Sean Dean, I think.
Is that Shane Taylor Promotions, or are these just random guys?
Yes.
Okay.
No, it's STK.
$1 million bucks?
Fucking awesome.
It's.
I want to go to an AEW pay-per-view so at the press conference I could yell, WWE! WWE! WWE!
Well, Tony, if you want to go to Collision taping Sunday at Hammerstein Ballroom, we can go.
No.
You don't have to mortgage your house to get there.
I have a pud to pound on Sunday.
Pounding your pud?
I'm ordering Rancho Loco. I'm getting a quesadilla with veggies and a fucking burrito to put my penis inside.
Woohoo!
He doesn't get a burrito.
No, I'm getting a burrito. I'm going Motley Crue style. So my fucking dick smells like a taco.
Now, so, HK, this is what I heard.
Yeah.
Right,
taco and I think dick smells like a taco.
Taco dick, fucking awesome. Yeah, that's a famous Motley Crue story. And they would go fuck these whores, and with their last dollar, buy a taco and rub it on their dicks. So when they went home, their tacos didn't smell like strange cooch.
Strange cooch.
Yeah.
Fucking awesome.
I'll let him. We lost him. We lost him. We're losing Tony too.
My head sounds like Tony Atlas.
Holy shit.
153 if you want to clip that sound, Matt.
Thanks. What is that?
I don't know.
What are you shaking your fucking head for, Tony?
Strange cooch.
Hey, motherfucker.
Oh, hey, what's up?
In the bathroom.
All right. My understanding now, Handsome Kevin, is you are down wrestling show to watch. Me and Tony suggest JCW Lunacy.
So we're trying to figure out what we're gonna do next.
Who?
We might. Duke and I thought that's what
you're saying. I'm not talking about you and Duke. I'm talking about you and Dynamite.
Oh, gotcha. I thought you were trying to pitch me watching that thing.
No, trying to watch if you need a new show to fill the void.
Oh, to fill the void. Yeah. And I am going to need something because with the fucking catalog going away, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's going to be dark times.
Oh, the Juggalo Championship Wrestling Lunacy. I'm 3 weeks in. I'm loving it.
I might go back to MLW, kick the tires on that a little bit, see how they're doing.
No.
Don't do that.
No. Okay. No.
I don't know if they do a weekly show. I think they only run those specials.
But it, TNA, is their new show going to, is that going to be a new weekly?
AMC?
Yeah.
AMC, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe go that route. I don't know. I'll figure it out. JCW, huh?
J, yes. Juggalo Championship Wrestling.
Yeah.
Lunacy.
I don't know. The whole Juggalo thing kind of fucks with me, man. I can't really get behind it. It seems weird. It seems really fucking weird.
But why?
It's just named after the clowns. They're not really... The Juggalos are not necessarily involved. I mean, they're in the crowd, but the crowd's are packed.
I don't like them in the crowd.
No, but I mean, like, Violent J is kind of like not necessarily an authority figure, I guess, but
he's not. Like, he lost his authority figure.
Well, not anymore, but... Don't worry, True Prince of Pro. We all kind of want to forget MLW from... Dude, the heyday was so good with Dynasty and Injustice. Yes. Like, that was like the prime time, dude.
With DH and fucking Teddy just kicking ass.
Fuck yeah.
Brian Pillman, yeah.
Yeah, man. I'm all in on Juggalo Championship.
The Von Erich boys got their fucking name there.
Yeah.
Right. Big Vito's a fucking fuck up. He fucks everything up for Vince Russo. I'm loving the Vince Russo character. Right? Shit makes sense. Ninja Mac did a zillion flips. He got caught tombstoned on the ramp. Rolled into
How come
the
he didn't bite any dicks to get out of it?
Bit of dick.
Rolled should've into the ring pin. 1, 2, 3. Didn't kick out. Wasn't no Super Cena. I'm digging it.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Digging it. Brothers of Funstruction. Cocaine.
And whatever happened to Gain?
I don't know.
There was Blue Cane, Cocaine, Gain.
Yeah, but this is a better Cocaine.
Rainbow Cane, I think.
This is a better Cocaine. God bless you. I watched... Brundo, did you watch the NGI?
I just watched the opening match last night. I didn't get a chance to watch.
Right, because we don't want to go long, but I just have to mention. I watched GCW. I watched the Nick Gage Invitational. I can't tell you the last time I watched the Deathmatch Tournament. I had a lot of fun watching it. These guys are fucking out of their goddamn minds.
Yeah, they are.
Yep.
And to know that Bear Bronson and Otis Koger had to do these matches three times. Bear Bronson had this fucking crazy match with this dude Slade in the first round. They beat the fuck out of each other. They were both bleeding like stuck pigs. The next match, Bear Bronson has the first spot. He gets kicked into a piece of plywood with a bunch of cut Coca-Cola cans on it. The shit gets stuck in the back of his arm.
Oof.
That's how the match started. I don't know. It's wild. It was wild. Wild. Mr. Danger hurt himself in the first match. Then he had to come out and wrestle the second match holding his little arm to his little body.
Holding his little arm to his little body.
He's a little skinny guy, man.
Was Lil Sicko in the tournament?
Yeah, Lil Sicko sure was Mr. Danger in a ladders and
Light tubes?
Light tubes, maybe? Yeah. Light tubes match. Oh, insane. With the panes of glass and the barbed wire and the fucking light tubes everywhere. Insanity.
You should go one year. There's something to be live for, that's for sure.
Yeah, the TOS they usually do in like July, and I'm always fucking like it's like the busiest of the year with the food truck.
It's usually the beginning of June every year.
That's even worse.
Yeah, that's true.
I would love to go. It's wild. I would be afraid to get glass in my ass.
You sit like 4 or 5 rows back. You're good. I've never been hit with glass. Blood? At least not at one of those.
It's wild. I loved it. I loved every second of it. The little intermission, change out the mats, and then the last match to take the apron off the ring. But at that point, these guys are beat to shit. Like, it was good. But by that point, these guys are beat up. Like, it's not a 5-star match, Meltzer. But it's something. It's something. They're taking these bumps on these fucking the wood, and then they get up, and they're just a fucking giant blood stain of their back.
Fucking what's his name? Bear Bronson getting choke slammed on cinder blocks.
Ah, yeah, terrible. Yeah. Out of control. I watched a lot of wrestling this week. I feel pretty good about it. Dudes. I got some DVDs in the mail. Original unedited ECW TV. It's a fucking game changer.
Yeah.
Oh my god, all the fucking music videos with the original music, nothing's edited out. Oh, my corazón, so happy.
How's the quality on them?
They're better than they are on the network.
Really?
Oh my god.
Were they recorded off a TV? I'm
going to say yes, because I also got a WCW 1992 worldwide set. And the first episode, it looks like it was recorded off of like Classics 24/7.
Okay.
But it is in its entirety. Oh, yeah. Handsome Kevin's mouth wide open. I got Saturday night's main event 90, 91, 92, worldwide 92, ECW TV 95, 96.
I want like worldwide 92 to like 97.
Yeah, he doesn't have everything.
Ugh.
Oh, and I got Primetime 89.
Okay, that's not bad.
Which I know is on the network, but this is not edited, so.
Yeah.
And Primetime 89.
Bantiste. Chef's kiss. Chef's
Mwah. Kiss. You are watching.
You are watching Shining Wizard.
Is there anything else you guys want to talk about before we do our homework?
I think that's it.
Yeah, I think I'm good.
HK?
No. I did watch the Eric Bischoff documentary from 2016 this morning.
The DVD?
Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't seen it, which kind of showed, like, I was going through shit looking for stuff to throw in the background, and I was like, fuck, I haven't watched that before. I like Eric Bischoff. Decent guy. Knows what he's talking about. Hey, he knows.
Does he?
He knows.
Yeah, he knows.
I don't know, man.
Don't be a bitch.
No, he knows. Was he there when they fucked up the Goldberg Bam Bam Bigelow thing in 98?
That sure. Might have been around the time where he stopped giving a shit. He was like hunting all the time.
All right. Yeah, because that's like something they like. The presentation of Bigelow in 1998, like, he didn't have theme music. He wasn't, like, he was presented as, like, he wasn't part of WCW. Like, he was, like, a real threat to Goldberg. And then Kevin Nash is like, I'm going to insert myself in this. And I'm going to beat him at Starrcade 98. So, suck on that.
Yeah, suck my balls.
Yeah, but at that time, Nash was running the shit.
Yeah, but you don't think like there were, you think he was like the be all end all, or like Bischoff wasn't like the guy that was like, hey, this is a bad idea.
No, they didn't touch on that specifically in this documentary. I mean, obviously.
No, but that's just fresh in my mind because I was watching '98 WCW.
Yeah, but I think that at that point it's because Bischoff had to pull back. We had to pull away from some of the shit to take care of the other shit while kind of patching other holes on the ship as it was taking on water instead of handling the book. That's why Nash took it on.
You can't let the inmates run the asylum.
No.
Yeah. He's a very smart man, though.
Yeah, I like him. I like him. Yeah. A lot of interesting stuff in that documentary. I hadn't watched it before, which surprised me because I thought I had seen all of them like from that era.
Yeah, there's a lot of, they did those. I'm kind of bummed they stopped putting out those documentaries.
Yeah, I'm gonna see how many more I can take in before they pull the plug. Just I want to make sure I caught them all before they pull them.
Oh yeah.
Homework.
Yay.
HK, you took us back to Judgment Day. 2005 for the JBL John Cena I Quit match. Why did you decide to assign this for homework, buddy?
Well, they're going into or coming off of Cena's last match. I know it was going to be heavy Cena tonight, and I wanted to touch on a match that I remembered from Cena during an earlier portion of his career. I guess 20 years ago seems like a nice spot to go to. Funny. I didn't realize that this was at Target Center until I threw it on. I don't remember it being at Target Center. I'm like 90% sure I was not there for this. I did go to a handful of shows at the Target Center. I'm pretty sure this is not one that I was there live for. But him against JBL, and I think that JBL was like a super, like, as far as a heel goes during this time, he was as true a heel as you could possibly get. So seeing those two work together is something I think was pretty fantastic. So like I guess I wanted to go something Cena 20 years ago, throw JBL at it and see what happens.
It was a bloodbath. It was not something I was expecting. Because I had never seen the match.
You've never seen it?
No. This era of WWE and TNA and Ring of Honor, like I was not watching wrestling at this time. So to go back and get to see this, WWE always hits a home run with their promo packages before. What belt did JBL have? That wasn't a champion.
No, it was the WWE Championship. Yeah. That was the one like Hulk Hogan debuted, Triple H had it, Brock Lesnar had it. I think part
Cena
of
Cena had the spinner belt at spinner, that point.
Cena was the champion.
Yeah, but I think JBL pulled the other belt out of the garbage, and he felt that Cena slighted the old belt. So, I don't
know. Okay. Because I know he'd made reference to it that he wanted his championship back, mm-hmm. but he didn't. No one explained why he had that title with him. JBL, not Cena.
Because Cena spinny spinny.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cena spinny spinny.
I loved it. I thought it was great. The use of the referee just being there with the microphone was great. JBL constantly taking the microphone, talking shit to Cena. Cena bleeding like a stuck pig. All the props that they came out to, the limo and the monster truck and the DJ booth were used fantastically. I have two complaints. The swinging neck breaker on the limo, on the hood.
It was a terrible choice.
It was, because neither one of them hit the fucking hood. They both just sat down. And then the finish.
Oh, no, like, the finish is great.
I wish he had gotten a little closer and had raised up what he was going to throw at him before JBL quit.
Yeah. I see where you're coming from. I there was so much within this match that I liked. They worked the different spots. It was gruesome as it needed to be, especially in an I Quit match. You knew something like that was, you know, something like that was coming as far as the brutality. JBL and Cena talking shit throughout the match was gold. JBL on the stick throughout the match is gold. I love when Cena told him to kiss his ass and threw him with the back body drop to the table. That was fucking awesome. When JBL calls him
fucking scary spot.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Oh yeah, because he landed right on the fucking edge.
He was making it.
Then God, was it when JBL calls him a punk ass bitch and Cena fires up on him? That was great. All the way out to breaking the limo door off, like fucking taking a bump into a limo door is not child's play. Like the guy, they're fucking working out there. I love the finish to this match because it shows how much of a chicken shit heel JBL actually was. Like him saying that you have to take his soul, all that kind of shit, and then not waiting for him to raise it up, not waiting for him to be in like unbelievably imminent danger, and for him just to go, no, I quit, that's it for me. Like it fucking shows like that much more of that chicken shit heel that he was, and for him to be that size and wrestle with the type of power and force that he did, but still be able to play the chicken shit heel role that he did, shows how good of a character he was. I mean, he still took the hit afterwards, still, so he still got what he wanted there, but I thought it was brilliant.
I like that, and my memory is a little foggy, but like the giant TV that they put JBL his head through.
Yeah.
In 2005, was that still a thing? Those giant TVs?
You could still get those, yeah.
Sure were. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're not putting a guy through a fucking picture tube. Come on.
It was a working picture tube, Tony.
Clearly it wasn't working. Although I do like, it was a nice touch. Like, even though the TV was gimmicked, when JBL yanked the cable out of it, it gave the spark. That was a nice touch.
Oh yeah, they did that on the truck too, when they pulled out the cylinder
and all the CO2. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was,
oh my god, like in the video game when the hose starts going all over the place.
Yes. No, you got to be careful with those, right? Because if you knock the fucking nozzle off one of those things, that'll take off like a fucking rocket.
That would have been amazing. Would have had a section 28 quit.
Three people died today at a World Wrestling Federation event at the Target Center where HK frequents. Yeah, the neckbreaker on the limo was kind of, and I do get why JBL didn't wait for Cena to raise up, because he didn't want to have it in Cena's head where, like, fuck it, I'm already here. So he wanted to cut it off at the pass. And then Cena just said, fuck it anyway, and threw it at him anyway. So. But the neckbreaker is a weird fucking spot to pick to do on a fucking limousine hood. Like anything else, like a back body drop, a fucking pile driver, anything else would have fucking worked there.
Side slam.
Anything. And he also hit the neckbreaker on the floor and the fucking camera missed it. Although I did like the fucking back body drop from one table to the other. Like that could have ended so badly for JBL, but he landed perfectly and avoided breaking his back on the side of the table.
Thank goodness he sat up. Otherwise, like landed on his ass, or else that would have been it.
Yep. And Taz panicking where he was like, no, come on. You don't need to do that, man. That's enough. When he fucking picked the stairs up, I was like, even Taz is fucking concerned for Cena now. This was awesome. I loved the shit out of this match. I thought it was fun. And here's the irony, right? So I watched it this afternoon. Cena had the same fucking comeback spot against Gunther. He fucking went through all the same fucking moves after he's getting his ass kicked. And then he went right back to getting his ass kicked again. It was fucking beautiful.
One of my friends said that when we were watching the Saturday night's main event, when Gunther for the second time tried to punch Cena and he went into the fucking Blue Thunder thing that he drops him with. He's like, you'd think after all these years, people would try and like stop trying to punch Cena. It never works out.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like people walking into Bret Hart and taking the atomic drop, you know?
Yeah.
It's like people hitting the ropes and getting hit with the Arn Anderson spine buster. You know?
Ric Flair climbing to the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he hit a fucking dive once during the Nitro era.
I think he was actually successful once.
I think the Undertaker WrestleMania match. I think he hit it in that one.
Probably.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
It's fun to watch this stuff, and it's also like the simplest shit. Like, it blows my mind with this era of wrestling that we're in now, WWE, AEW, whatever. Like, there's a playbook of things you can do. Like, just the way they use the microphone, like, to hit each other, like, just that, like, just the sound of getting hit with a microphone, it adds, it's such a little detail, but it adds so much.
Yeah, it and added like, a lot when Maki Ito did it, too.
And like Matthew Birch said, like, John Cena, like, with all the, like, the guttural, like, no, I won't quit, like choking on it. Like, I mean, he must have taken so many fucking aspirins before that match.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
There was a shot of them laying on the
floor at ringside. Yeah. No, at ringside when he was dripping the blood all over the place.
Yeah, I think there was one on the truck, too, where it was a and you could just see his head is sideways and it's still like just dripping off of him. What a fuck. It was like if you were going to wrestle JBL in this era, you had to give yourself the worst blade job ever. See Eddie Guerrero, see John Cena. Like, yeah. He was fucking pissing blood so early. It was crazy. And it never it never dried up. It was gushing.
Bro, that was that fucking chair shot that JBL hit him with, too.
Yeah. Dude.
I fucking cringed when I heard that. I was like, what the fuck?
Wild.
Good times, man. Good times. I love great the shit
pick.
Out of this match.
Yeah, great pick there, HK.
Thank you. I just want to go to MB. It says the finish was the best part. The fact that JBL quit because he was scared and Cena still hit him with the weapon after the match was great. Perfect way to close out the feud.
Oh, so that was it. That I was going to ask if that was the end of the feud.
Yeah. Yep.
It would have had to have been because it stretched from WrestleMania to that point.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Cena won the title at Mania. Like, how many more rematches can you give JBL after that?
I said, did.
Right?
It was, no, because it was, wasn't it JBL and Batista at that SummerSlam? And that was for the belt.
Let's see. Judgment Day was in, boom, 05. Vengeance, 06. The main event is Batista Triple H for the World Heavyweight title. Cena's in a triple threat with Chris Jericho and Christian. That's Vengeance. The Great American Bash 05 is JBL Batista for the world title.
Yeah, Kyle chimed in. That was for the world title. And so JBL was chasing gold in, on the other brand.
Maybe they flipped the.
Oh, that's right.
They drafted. They got drafted.
Yeah, because shortly after Cena won the title, they had the draft, and Cena was the first round pick, and then Batista wound up being the last pick for SmackDown.
Yep.
We had a very brief period of time where they were both on Raw.
Yep.
And yes, I think but Rob you're right.
Van Dam, Rob Van Dam might have been the IC champ at the time, so I think he was like the king of SmackDown for a bit, maybe. If I'm remembering,
or US champ, probably.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Benoit wins the US title at SummerSlam. He takes it from Orlando Jordan. You were right, HK. Batista, JBL, no holds barred match for the World Heavyweight Championship. Cena's still dealing with Jericho for the WWE Championship at SummerSlam 05.
There it is. Gotcha. That's a hell of a match, too, between JBL and Batista.
That's the Hogan HBK match.
Yeah, it's a great. It's the best SummerSlam. It's the best SummerSlam.
Mr. Baptista. Baptista.
So thumbs up all around, I'm guessing then.
Fuck yes. Two big definitely. Ones right here.
The streak continues. Tony, you seemed very excited about your homework this week. And what are you assigning to us and the listeners?
I wanted to go with something Christmassy, being that Christmas is going to be next week. I did a little search for some Christmas cheer and some Christmas action, something that we could have watched. And I was a pubic hair away from picking the Divas match where it was mistletoe on a pole.
My pole?
Considering that the watch time of that match was like under 2 minutes, I was like, yeah, I got to come with something a little more correct than that. And it wasn't really much of a Divas match to begin with. Spoiler alert. One of the Bella Twins kicks the other one in the breadbasket and gets the fucking mistletoe in about 2 minutes, And it turns out she doesn't win a Divas title match, even though Santa Foley told her she would. She actually gets to find and kiss one of the superstars before the end. So I was like, as funny as that would be, it's not worth a fucking 3 minutes of anybody's time. So I decided to go a little more creative, and we're going to TNA Impact, episode 182, air date December 20th, 2007. There were a lot of Christmas matches on this one, but the one that I picked is called Silent Night, Bloody Night. It's a hardcore four-way match with a barbed wire Christmas tree. It's Relic, Abyss, Shark Boy, and Black Rain.
Wow. Jesus Christ. Relic and Black Rain?
And Black Rain. And Black Rain looks like Cheeseburger Eddie.
Good I was say, he probably looked like just a tub of shit. He looked like hell when he was Black Rain.
He looked like a fucking Oreo cookie in this one, a double stuff.
Hey, double stuffs.
But yeah, we got Shark Boy, we got Relic.
Did you know that's Killer spelled backwards?
I had no idea, Brundo. Thank
that's,
you.
What was that? That's Johnny the Bull, yeah?
Yeah.
Dude, why are you spoiling this? I didn't say who Black Rain was.
Apron Bump said, I just watched this. So good.
We got a thumbs up already.
True Prince of Pro. Hell yeah. Excellent.
Fuck yeah. And that entire show is all Christmassy stuff, and I didn't realize until after I picked the match. I said, you know what? We're going with this one.
I'll have to see if I can log into my Impact Plus to happen.
Oh, no, I got you the gimmick. I'll send the gimmick later. That's just nice. Yeah, go on YouTube and just put in barbed wire Christmas tree. It'll come right up.
All right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a 10-minute video. The match is about 7 minutes or so, so it's highly entertaining.
There's got to be something with Eric Young on that show, like dressed as Santa or...
Well, let me see. I have the card here.
Sack or something like that.
You've got the Christmas Chaos 8-man tag team steel cage match. Jeez. Booker T, Scott Steiner, and LAX against James Storm, Bobby Roode, and the Rockin' Rave Infection. You've got double North Pole 6-man tag team, Jay Lethal and the Motor City Machine Guns against Johnny Devine and Team 3D. The non-title Santa's Workshop 9-way street fight. Austin Kong, Angelina Love, Christy Hemme, Gail Kim, Jackie Moore, Miss Brooks, ODB, Roxy Laveau, and Velvet Sky.
All right, change my mind. Sign me up.
And your main event, loser wears a reindeer suit ladder match.
There it is.
Kazarian and AJ Styles.
Oh, wow.
That's the entire show.
HK, I know what year you should go to next.
What's that?
This is 2017.
TNA.
Yeah.
This entire show seems amazing. If it wasn't for the fact that it'd be like an hour watch, I would say just watch the whole show. But that, the fucking barbed wire Christmas tree, Silent Night, Bloody Night. How could you go wrong?
No,
we'll find out next week.
Yes, we will.
HK, you're in Mexico next week, no?
Yes. I'm in my second home, beautiful Mexico.
All right. And we got the Apron Bump is back next week.
Yep.
Yes.
Ooh, Kyle. Ooh. Hey, maybe Kyle wants to join us for homework talk since he watched it.
Oh.
That's a good idea.
Throwing it out there. We could do homework early. You know, unless you want to get Kyle on late. I don't know if he's got to go to bed early like I do.
I don't know. We can discuss off the air and maybe.
Yeah, fuck that. Fuck these people. We don't want to fuck them. Everything. Yeah.
Wow.
What do you think? It's WWE commentary. We're going to give away the fucking store. Come on.
Yeah. Fuck them.
Come on. Give away the store. Not fucking awesome. Well, you don't have to ask Kyle twice. He's down. So.
Yeah. But does that mean is Kyle on the show the whole? Is he fourth chair?
Listen, I wasn't going to go that far, but you know, we could open that door.
Or we do homework early with
I like when Kyle hangs up on us, though. He might have a festive one in the chamber, like a Festivus thing, you know. Like he fucking hits us with the stick of torture or whatever it was, and that's it. He's out. Stick of torture. I don't know. Wasn't there some gimmick that they fucking had for Festivus? What was
they had the pole.
The pole, yeah.
Instead of the Christmas tree, it was the pole.
Yeah.
And then it was the feats of strength.
Yeah, Kyle will stick a pole up our ass. He'll fucking bench press 400 pounds, and then he says, "See you later. Happy New Year."
That's not all very, believable for Kyle.
Fuck yeah, Kyle's down for everything. See, look at that. He said, "I'm down."
before we wrap up, I just want to we had a couple deaths. I don't know if we talked about them. Nobody got a point, but Mr. Electricity Steven Regal passed. And today, it was reported that Solomon Grundy passed.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, he had a heart attack at 70 something.
Why is your camera going? Still no.
I'm sorry. I was moving. I was getting the.
No, it was weird because you froze like, and it was like incrementally going up while you were talking.
I really don't want to call Optimum and fucking scream again. I really
have
don't.
Your wife call. She's good at that.
That should be a bonus.
She made Al shake in his fucking boots or his she lack of boots. Whatever he was wearing.
Boots.
That's what Kevin snapped his sandals. He was so shaken.
No.
So this is the rest. So next week we have no handsome Kevin. Kyle's gonna be with us, so it's just a regular show. The 29th we will be doing our Christmas show.
Christmas Woo! Spectacular.
And in just because we'll be feeling festive, we're gonna do the 2026 Death Pool draft that night as well.
Woo!
Tony in the lead right now. HK still not on the board. Tony got two. Me and Brendo each have one. Handsome Kevin's wait. Now,
plenty of time.
16 days left.
Yeah, what do we do now in the case of like Mr. Electricity Steven Regal? He passed like in July, and we didn't find out about it till last week. Like, what happens if that happens with one of HK's guys? Like in February, we hear like, oh, like HK got two guys that died in like October and November. Like,
well, if it happened in within that year, then it still counts. But
okay, but what if we have like a tie? What if he gets two real fast? Boom, boom.
And there's a tie. It's not science, bro. It's a fucking pick.
Do you guys have a death off? Like, what? How do we determine?
We stab each other in the asshole until one of us quits
with our dicks.
Oh, no, I was thinking the Festivus stick, but yeah.
I'm oh yeah, no, it's Festivus. I'm That's what I meant. It's the Festivus thing. Festivus
no, dick. we go back to back, and whoever gets it further in wins.
With our dicks.
And then January 5th, we're going to announce the 2026 class for the Shining Wizards Hall of Fame. What?
In 2026, we'll announce the class of 2026. In 2026.
I said January 5th.
I don't know. Whatever you said.
And January 12th, Too Tough Tony joins the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Hey, do we have any more? Any more pay-per-views for the rest of the year?
Yeah, World's End.
AEW World's End, and then I think TNA?
Yeah.
So WWE pay-per-views are done?
No, because we finish at the
Royal No, because of yeah. No, because of yeah. There's no January pay-per-view?
The Royal Rumble.
But that's where we start next year.
That's February now.
There's nothing before that. Saturday, January 17th is Genesis, and that is the last one.
Isn't there like Deadline or some shit like an NXT? Like
Deadline just PLE? Happened.
Oh, it did. Never
Deadline
mind.
Just happened. I don't think they have one in between.
They don't have like Miss the Deadline, like the
fall. No, New Year's Eve is, or what's it? New Year's Evil is a Evil? TV special.
Yeah.
It's a TV special.
Cool, man.
Cool.
And then we'll have to discuss if that's it on picks or if we change the pick format or.
I kind of hope that we're done with picks.
Not if I
really,
win.
I really. Oh, come on. Eat a shit. You ain't winning. You're still two behind. Tuba. Two behind. Oh, fuck me running. And with that and nothing else, we'll cue the motherfucking music.
Did you make the Patreon edits?
Yes, I did.
Cool.
This has been a production of the Shining Wizards Network. For everything Shining Wizards, visit ShiningWizards.com. And don't forget to listen to all the great shows of the Shining Wizards Network.
We would like to thank those that support the Shining Wizards over at our Patreon. The executive producer, Manny Kratzo. Producers, Kate Enzer, High Five Tom, Ryan Schlong, Al Day, Kathy Hummer, Jesse Elwell, Emily Brock, Michael Hammond, Keith Parker, I Dunk Biscuits, and David Henry Bauer III. Thank you all for your support.
I remember Brendo Fly. I forgot to do it.
fuck me, fuck me, fuck me, fuck me, fuck me, fuck me.
Good night, Diana.
Good night, Diana.
God damn it. Fuck me, fuck me, fuck me, fuck me, fuck
me. Pet the cat?
Oh, yeah.
Fucking loser.
Get on top of me and I'll beat you off.
The one that go meet to meet.
No shoes, no socks.
Jesus Christ, blow my ass.
He's fat. This idiot doesn't know how to speak the fucking English language.
I have a small dick.
This show is not worth a fist.
Whoa, hey, wait, sign me up.
You fucking assholes. Fucking whore. Kind of, you know, you are kind of into weird stuff. Well.
Fuck was that?
That was, remember when I smashed my microphone?
What? When?
Hey, hey. Ho, ho. This penis party's got to go. What do you think Lollipop is about?
No, somebody's playing with the plugs. Boy, I gotta use the bathroom.
Hi, this is Billy, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, shiningwizards.com. And plus, you can find us on iTunes. Just look for Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. And please, leave the guys a review. They really appreciate it. Oh, and you can join them on Facebook at facebook.com/shiningwizards. Or you can bother them on Twitter at Wizards Podcast. Or you can send Matt some hate mail at wizardspodcast@gmail.com. Come join us. Was that good? Okay. When do